The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
Tuesday, October 22nd. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, two people, a husband and wife, died during a fire that broke out at a home in Northeast Philadelphia Monday night. The fire started shortly before midnight in a two-story home on Medina Place near Harrow Road in the city's Torresdale section. Arriving, firefighters were met with heavy smoke and flames. The husband and wife were ages 68 and 78, and they were found on the first floor of the home. Neighbors said the couple lived there for years and that they were very active in a local church. Their daughter and son-in-law, both 46-year-olds, were taken to Jefferson Torresdale Hospital with burns and smoke inhalation. They were in stable condition. Witnesses said the daughter and son-in-law were outside of the home screaming that the two others were still inside. Neighbors tried to get into the home, but there was too much fire. Firefighters were able to get the fire under control quickly. The cause of the fire is still under investigation. Now, overnight, firefighters continued to pour water off and on to keep hot spots from flaring up at the site of a massive three-alarm blaze that ravaged an auto garage in the Cobbs Creek section of Philadelphia. That fire erupted Monday at about 10 a.m. at Al's Auto Service and ABM Automotive on the 200 block of South 59th Street. Just a short time after the fire began, several of the building's walls collapsed. There was no immediate word on any injuries associated with the blaze, or the cause of the fire. A man has been arrested for the rape of a young woman jogging in Norristown Farm Park at gunpoint in broad daylight back in 2017, the Montgomery County District Attorney's Office announced on Monday. It's the result of thousands of hours of old-fashioned police work, DA Kevin Steele said. 19-year-old Mason Alexander Hall of West Narreton faces numerous charges for the incident, which occurred back on August 1st, 2017, when Hall was 17 years old. Because the suspect had a dark-colored hooded sweatshirt on and approached the victim, a 19-year-old woman, from behind, there was limited descriptive information for investigators to go upon. An extensive search of the area followed the attack, and it came up empty. In the 2 years since, a $10,000 reward posted for information leading to the capture of the suspect, and the authorities utilized an advanced science DNA testing to create a composite image of what they believed to be what the suspect looked like. Now, the image was released to the public in January of 2018, and though it resulted in many tips, none led investigators to Hall. Investigators were ultimately able to link Hall to the crime by using the DNA from the scene of the crime to identify distant relatives. So many of those relatives were interviewed, and with the help of the FBI, local authorities narrowed their search down to two suspects. So two men, one of them was ruled out based on the description from the victim. So they were able to connect this to Hall. On October 18th, Hall was arrested at his home. Bail was set at $1 million and a preliminary hearing is set for October 25th.
That's amazing. Right? If you ever watch shows like Dateline or, you know, on Friday night, I always watch those things, those procedurals where you'll have these detectives are just committed to accruing all the information and won't let a case drop over the years. And this is what they did. They stuck with this. And
one of these guys is my neighbor.
Well, are you kidding? Really?
West Norton police, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yep. Really? He's West Norton. Yeah, I remember when this happened because my mom walks in that park, or she did anyway, and it was right around the time where she was, you know, it was hot. It was August. They were out. People were running and jogging and exercising, and it happened in broad daylight. So they were able to get this kid. He was 17 at the time. He's 19 now, and he's now being held in jail.
Good work.
Students, community leaders, and Mayor Jim Kenney gathered at the Paul Robeson High School in University City to announce the partnership between two organizations looking to make a generational impact on underserved communities in Philadelphia, starting with high school students. This is an opportunity for our students to develop their career pathways directly out of high school, so we wanted this opportunity to accommodate all of the students, said Principal Richard Gordon. In 2018, Rashawn Nelson and Dante Robinson were wrongfully arrested at a Center City Starbucks. The city of Philadelphia committed $200,000 to Project Evaluate. It's a new entrepreneurial program in city high schools developed by the two men under their nonprofit called Action Not Words. Penn Netter Center is a program partner. We need to give people opportunity and chances to learn the skills necessary to be entrepreneurs, to employ people, and to have a good life, said Mayor Kenney. The program teaches high school students how to budget, invest, and start their own businesses. Hmm. In sports this morning.
Sacks
And Flyers scored four times in the second period to take control of the game on their way to a 6-2 win over the Vegas Golden Knights.
All right.
Travis Konecny scored a power play goal in the first, while Kevin Hayes, Michael Raffel, and Matt Niskanen and Oscar Lindblom scored to make it 5-0 by the end of the second. Brian Elliott was perfect through the first two periods and earned the win with 33 saves. Up next for the Flyers is a game on the road on Thursday night in Chicago against the Blackhawks. The puck drops at 8:30. In Monday Night Football, Tom Brady threw a touchdown pass to Philip Dorsett. Sonny Michael ran for three scores, and New England forced Sam Darnold into five turnovers while cruising to a 33-0 win over the New York Jets. The Patriots improved to 7-0 for the third time in franchise history and the first in 2015. They also swept the two-game season series against their AFC East rivals for the fourth year in a row, outscoring the Jets 63-14 in the two games this year. And the Sixers continue to prepare for their regular season opener, which is tomorrow night at home against the Boston Celtics. Tip-off for the game in South Philly is scheduled for 7:30, and that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thanks, Kath. Let's go on a Tuesday. We have a bunch of stuff set up and ready for you. First of all, we'll start with this. If you are into ink and you want to get a new free Preston and Steve tattoo, we might just be able to accommodate. All you have to do is text the word tattoo to 39333, because today is Tattoo Tuesday, and we will give away a $350 gift certificate for world-famous Philadelphia Eddie's Tattoo, and it will be a Preston and Steve-style tattoo that you'll need to get, and you could end up being tattooed by the area's top tattoo artists like Kyle Fitzpatrick. You can check out his work on Instagram at Kyle_Fitzpatrick_ or PhiladelphiaEddie'sTattoo.com. In studio guests this morning, we will have the original Perseus here.
Yeah.
Harry Hamlin.
Very cool.
Is going to be stopping by. If you remember Clash of the Titans back in the 1980s when that came out.
I loved it. So the special effects god Ray Harryhausen did the work on that movie. And then I was a fan of L.A. Law.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. And I was a fan of a movie that he did. I'm going to bring it up to him. A movie, Preston, maybe you remember it, called Movie, where it was a parody of two types of movies. He played the young boxer, Joey Popchick.
No.
And it was done in the completely hokey style.
Okay.
And it's hilarious. And I don't know if anyone other than he and I have seen it.
Maybe he'll love the fact that you know that film. All right, so he's stopping in around 9 o'clock because he is performing the Delaware Theater Company in One November Yankee. So we'll find out about that a little bit later on this morning. I know we have stuff to give away. We got some movie screenings on the way and some events coming up that we'll remind you about. There's a new Daily Rush video for your viewing pleasure. It's called Elvis Robbed a Sex Shop. And the description is nothing but a hound doggy style. And you can watch it now at PrestonandSteve.com, sponsored by Punchline Philly Comedy Club Restaurant and Bar. So we have this and a bunch of stuff on the way. We have our entertainment report coming up. I got loads of stories I'm going to run by there, as well as a stupid question with some other giveaways. And don't forget, we have a trip for two to the premiere of Midway in Los Angeles. And this will be on Tuesday, November 5th. So check your calendar, make sure you're available, and then keep track of the letters coming up at the end of the program. So these things and more are taking place. We'll go ahead and take our first break, come back in just a second, and then we'll dive into it all head first when we return. Stay with us this morning.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Before we dive into the nuts and bolts here and stupid question and so on, I want to mention this today. I know Steve and I are going to this, and unfortunately, we might have a little bit of rain, but I want to encourage people, if you're in Philadelphia and you have some time around lunch, today our very own Pierre Robert is being he's being honored with a star on the Philadelphia Music Walk of Fame. It is the induction ceremony today, and it will be outside around noon, and it's going to be on Pine near the Kimmel Center, right by the Kimmel Center. And I think we might be getting a little bit of rain today.
I think I saw that it's coming a little bit later.
Like,
it's not going to be, maybe it'll be a little bit of rain, but it's not going to be too bad until later this afternoon.
It's going to be spotty, but I don't want people to, not show up. I'm looking forward to this.
So I checked the specific breakout precedent, and it says it's suggesting around 10, 10:30 rain takes a pause, and then around 1:30, 2 o'clock.
Okay.
So this is happening at noon. We're kind of in the sweet spot.
All right. Then please come out and be a part of this today. And also the Hooters are being honored as well. And there's going to be a lot of, I guess, you know, Todd Rundgren is coming out. He's going to induct the, or he's going to do the ceremonies for the Hooters. And the Geeter will be there, and it will be there. So if you can be there today at noon, it would be pretty damn cool. So stupid question today. You're going to give away a pair of tickets to see Steely Dan. They are playing Friday, November 8th at the Met. And I have a really interesting question today. I found this online. I'll give you the source in a little bit. But according to New York City garbage collectors, what are disco rice?
I'm going to take a guess.
All right. What do they call disco rice?
Okay.
New York City garbage collectors, 215-263-WMMR. And it might not just be, yes, Steve, you got it right. It might not just be New York City garbage collectors, and maybe other ones as well, but I'd never heard that term, and it makes total sense.
I love it. I'm going to use it myself now.
Yeah, 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. Today is Tuesday, October 22nd, and a bunch of birthdays to run by you today. We'll start with the world of Breaking Bad, Mr. Bob Odenkirk.
Yes.
Is 57 today, and obviously Better Call Saul and Mr. Show and
Ben Stiller Show and all these great shows. Super funny, one of the best comedy writers for SNL and skit comedians ever, and made that transition to dramatic acting and is excellent at it.
Yeah, and what a breakout character in Saul Goodman, man.
Yeah, is that coming back for another season?
Yes, it is.
Is it?
When should it?
I don't know, but I loved the evolution from his original character into becoming Saul Goodman, because that's what Better Call Saul is about.
Yeah.
And I never knew, but of course it makes sense that his name is Saul Goodman.
Yeah, it's all good, man.
It's all good, man.
And you know what? Touching off that, but El Camino came out last week, I guess it was, or the week before.
Did you watch it?
I did.
Yeah.
And I loved it. And I was reading online, there was a bit of backlash about it, and I guess some people didn't care for it. I thought it was well done.
There's backlash against everything.
You know what? You're right. You're right. I thought it tied up the story nicely.
It was perfect placement in that universe.
I agree.
So anybody who didn't like that, shut up and just try and find some joy in life.
Bob is 57 today. The great Jeff Goldblum celebrates his birthday today. He is 67 years old.
Yeah.
And what did we see?
I just watched The Fly with him the David Cronenberg version of The Fly with him, which was kind of a wild movie, man.
Yeah, or Ragnarok. Is that what you're thinking of?
Ragnarok's great.
No, I saw something about him recently over the weekend. He's of that Bill Murray stature where...
He's the cool guy.
He's a cool guy, and he's a quirky dude.
He's like Saget.
You can use him for whatever it may be. He's you gotta love him.
He's got something new coming out. He was on Portlandia for a long time, and obviously comedic chops are there. But he's also a really good dramatic actor. I love him in the movie Silverado, Preston.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
he is the gambler.
Yeah,
he's great. 67 today. Christopher Lloyd. He is 81 years old today. Yeah, we kind of first got to know him in Taxi as Reverend Jim. which is a great character.
Ton of great stuff.
And then Back to the Future, he just took off. And you know what? And here, I'm sorry, I'm glad they have this in his credits. I thought he was great as Fester in the Addams Family.
He was excellent. Yeah. They've been showing that like crazy, obviously, with the animated movie coming out and it being Halloween and all that. But, he was also the head Klingon in the third Star Trek movie.
Oh, my God, I forgot about that.
Chock, chock, block.
Yeah. He's 81 today. From the world of rock... Leslie West from Mountain.
One of the iconic riffs, right? Guitar riffs?
74 years old today. Ning, 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 ning. Well, that's Bachman Turner Overdrive. What? Mountain, Mississippi Queen, yeah.
Dun, 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 dun.
There you go. That is it right there, man. 74 years old today. Leslie, kind of a large guy.
I think he actually had an amputation. I think he lost a part of his leg due to, I think, diabetes.
That's possible, yeah.
Mississippi Queen.
It's a good one, man.
If you know what I mean.
There you go. That's just raw rock and roll.
She told me out of there.
Leslie West is 74. You know what? We should learn a song in Saint that you should sing.
Oh,
Steve.
I'll do it.
You should learn Mississippi Queen. Do you know how many people would come out to see you sing?
Yeah. Yes.
He is 74 today. Jonathan Lipnicki.
Oh, from Kramer versus Kramer. No,
what was it? Jerry Maguire.
Jerry Maguire, that's right.
So cute. Did he end up turning into a cute
man? I think he's like a jacked man beast.
No, yeah. Is he
really?
Yeah, he got really jacked up for a while. I don't know what his current status is, but a few years ago.
I think he was roiding up big time.
He was bodybuilding.
Yeah. Oh, my God, Jace looks like him, Kathy. Don't you think? Yeah. Bring that picture back up into the studio.
So the kid, I know what it is. I was thinking the kid in Kramer versus Kramer ended up being the teenage brother in 16 Candles.
Oh, you're right, Steve. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
he's,
wow. Yeah.
He's not overjacked. He's just
jacked.
Super duper toned up. Yeah. So Mr. Lipnicki was also in the Stuart Little movies. He is 29 today. It's Carlos Mencia, his birthday today. Carlos has been by here a bunch of times.
Yeah.
I like him.
You like him a lot.
Yeah.
And for some reason, we usually have turkey bacon when he's around.
Well, he got into that longstanding feud with Joe Rogan. I think they've sort of put that behind them about Carlos stealing material.
Right.
But I don't know. He continues, and people go to see him.
We often have turkey bacon, so it's like a lot of guests remember the turkey bacon.
It'd be harder to think of the guests who've been here where we didn't have turkey bacon.
I remember he had a bit, he had a routine about turkey bacon, and we happened to go, well, here, dude. We just like gave him boxes of here you go. So he's 52 today. Director Spike Jonze celebrates his 50th birthday today. Did he direct this video?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's done music videos as well as movies like Being John Malkovich and Adaptation. Co-creator of Jackass.
Yes, he is.
Kind of wild. Where the Wild Things Are. And he turns 50 years old today. So happy birthday. And then you have from the world of Modern Family, Jesse Tyler Ferguson.
Very funny.
He's very funny.
Those two, you know.
Oh, my God.
Are just a hilarious couple. And what I like is they foil stereotyping them, you know, and I think that as far as an image to put forward, that is such a wonderful, well-rounded image, you know?
Yep. 44 years old today, so happy birthday to everybody. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. According to New York City garbage collectors, what are disco rice? 215-263-WMMR. Yeah. We will go to Sean for the answer. Hey, Sean, good morning.
Hello, good morning, all.
All right, Sean, what are disco rice?
They'll be maggots.
Maggots. Hang on a second, disco Sean. Rice. Makes total sense.
Yeah.
If you've ever opened up your garbage can, you see a big pack of maggots in there.
And they're writhing.
They're just
looks like a dance party.
Yeah. They're moving around. They look like pieces of rice. That's a great term for
maggots. I hate it.
That's a great band name, too.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. It has also a secondary meaning.
I got to write that down.
They can open for Red Van.
I still have nightmares of when I found them in a tuna sandwich that I'd left in Jace's stroller.
I remember that. We put the kitty litter in a special Tupperware, like a large Tupperware container outside, you know, by the driveway. And in the summer, I saw them in there. So I put in some sawdust and stuff to make sure they don't form. And it's been good, but Christ, what a nightmare when you open that up and see that.
Yep, and it happens at least once a year to me for some reason or another. Or if you miss the garbage day.
Oh. And it's in the truck. Mm-hmm. Oh, God,
yep. All right, since Sean got that right, we're going to give him a pair of tickets to see Steely Dan Friday, November 8th at the Met in Philly, part of their epic three-night stand at the Met. And that's November 6th, 8th, and 9th. And the show on the 9th is sold out. Some tickets for the 6th and 8th. Are still available via Ticketmaster.com. Complete details are available at WMMR.com.
Yeah, they're doing like a full album tour.
Yeah.
And so I think maybe the 9th is Asia.
I think they're doing two albums, and then they're doing the last day, they're just doing a regular concert, you know, the best ofs.
Yeah.
So it should be great. It's always great.
Let's go to the entertainment stories. The news keeps getting worse for Cuba Gooding Jr., the Oscar winner. Has now been accused of sexual misconduct by 14 women. And on Monday, accuser Natasha Ashworth filed suit against him, claiming that she has video proof of his bad behavior.
Okay, what does she say he did?
Well, she claims that she was working at Tao in New York City, so she's, working. She's on the job. In the wee hours of October 24th in 2018, when Gooding asked her, "Do you want to see my impression of a penis?" And then she responded, "No," but Gooding then drank from his glass and spurted liquid out of his mouth. Now, at that, I'm like, well,
yeah,
he's doing a joke.
He's doing whatever. Like a
blue that's not a big deal. But apparently, and so there was more to it than
that. Okay.
So she says that she just walked away from him. And then they ran into each other a few hours later around 4:20 in the morning when Gooding allegedly grappled her right buttock. And she told him not to, but he reportedly replied, "Aw, that's no fun. And I didn't. I touched your back." She then said that she grabbed him and told him to leave, and that a club promoter told Gooding to stop, at which point he pushed the promoter out of the way and later stormed out saying, "You don't have to worry because I'm never coming back here again." Ashworth claims that she has video proving that the grabs and pushes. She is suing Gooding for assault, battery, and intentional infliction of emotional distress. So
with a charge like that,
he's a grabby dude.
And that's, yeah. It seems what all these crimes are. What would he be looking at were he to receive...
Yeah, I don't know.
A criminal prosecution on that, because I don't. Does that constitute a misdemeanor action?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
it's probably not going to be much,
right?
But if he's habitually doing it, I don't know what that might add up. Because
they would have to take each case on its own. You can't lump these together, right?
So he's pleaded not guilty and is due in court on the 13th of December, when a judge will rule whether prosecutors can call accusers of uncharged crimes to establish a pattern of behavior.
Mm.
Last week, he was indicted on two instances of misdemeanor sexual touching. So there you go.
There you go.
All right. So I don't know. I mean, it's just, I think part of this, I don't know, maybe they're just tired of people that feel that they have their entitlement
the right to
do
that. I think he's classically what would be referred to as a lout.
Right.
Like somebody who's a grabby guy who thinks he has the right to proceed. Or,
yeah.
We do know he's had issues with the booze. You know?
Yep. All right, so I've got your weekly update on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
We've avoided this in the years past, but our good buddy Kate Flannery is obviously one of the contestants, and she's doing a great job.
She is.
And by the way, Nick pulled up a picture of her. I guess this was from last night, Nick.
Yes.
She looks great.
She does.
So
she
last night was all very emotional dances, and she was phenomenal.
She has, you can clearly see, she's shaped up since...
Yeah, she lost weight.
Since getting involved in this competition. She looks fantastic. Is that your butt?
Yeah, okay. I can't believe you heard that.
I did hear that, yep.
Was that your butt?
Mm-hmm. To be honest, you were just assaulted.
Who were we interviewing the other day? We were interviewed. I turned to Casey because I heard a noise, and he just go, "You'd mouth,
I farted." Oh, I saw you guys do that exchange. Yeah. Was the guest in studio?
Yeah.
No, it was not.
It was on the phone.
It was on the phone.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. You would never.
Yeah. No. Oh, never. Not that. Yeah.
I farted.
Come on, guys.
Frost Nixon. Yeah. Just, and that's why. Did you just fart?
I just had to make sure I wasn't hearing things.
Right, no. It could be a spirit here. We may have to have an exorcism performed.
I had to check, and indeed it was his butt. All right, anyhow, after performing a jive, Sailor Brinkley Cook became the fourth celebrity to leave season 28 of Dancing with the Stars last night.
I think she was living on borrowed time to begin with.
She and her pro partner, Val Cheremovsky, or however you say his last name, ended up in the bottom two with fellow contestant Ally Brooke and a pro partner, Sasha Farber. Still in the running are Queer Eye star Karamo Brown, Bachelorette alum Hannah Brown.
Hannah Brown is good, I have to say it.
Is she a good dancer?
Yeah, she's a good dancer.
And she's quite the looker.
Easy on the eyes.
Country music singer Lauren Elena, James Vanderbeek.
He's really good.
Ally Brooke, Kel Mitchell, Sean Spicer, and Kate Flannery are all still in the running.
I can't believe Sean Spicer has made it this far.
I know.
It has nothing to do with politics. That guy's terrible. He's just an awful dancer.
Well, we can hold on to the fact that he will be voted off before Kate.
Yeah.
And hopefully Kate will go the distance.
So. Listen, she's doing everything right. And it's been a case where the person's made it all the way to the ball or whatever the trophy is.
The mirror ball.
Mirror ball with having, not being the best dancer, but the most popular dancer. So yep. I think Kate can certainly take that.
She can do it, man.
How much of crowd voting goes into the actual?
It's a decent amount.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're proud of her so far. So we love that gal. She'll keep doing what she does. Kylie Jenner teased her 20-month-old daughter Stormy's obsession with makeup in a recent YouTube video, and it seems that mom is ready to capitalize on it. So we talked about
of
this
course!
Yesterday. So she talks about Stormy being obsessed with makeup. Well, according to The Blast, Kylie, I guess as of yesterday, has trademarked Stormy for a line of cosmetics.
Of course, of course.
Is it for specifically for children?
For slutty kids.
They haven't indicated that yet. Stormy is in good company. Mother of six from two marriages, Kris Jenner has raised kids turned moguls, and now her momaging is being passed on to a new generation of pint-sized entrepreneurs.
I would have to imagine that Kris Jenner is really the brains behind this deal, the Stormy thing. I think she is the puppet master for all these kids.
After welcoming fourth child Psalm with Kanye, Kim, for example, filed for 16 trademark protections covering a range of goods and services.
Oh, my God. You got to give it to them.
Their other three, North, Saint, and Chicago, are trademarked as well.
I was, Preston, I was 25 before my father trademarked my name and likeness.
It's a little late.
Yeah, it was late.
Chloe has True Thompson trademarked, and Courtney has not trademarked her three kids' names, but she did use her daughter Penelope's nickname to start her lifestyle site, Poosh.
So, Poosh. Sounds like a queef.
I thought that was Chloe.
So much more. Yeah, I thought that was Chloe's. No, you're right. It's
Courtney.
Courtney, yeah.
We need to trademark the rest of the kids who are not, and that way when they go and they want to use the name, they have to come to us.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
like the second they're born.
Nanosecond. Yeah. Like get the web domain and the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, there was an article yesterday. I don't know if you have it about Courtney's abilities. So she is the one who has Poosh, which sounds like a queef.
Yep.
And apparently she claims to be able to queef on demand.
Shut up.
Reading an article. I'll send it to you.
Wait, who can queef on demand?
Courtney
Kardashian.
Courtney Kardashian.
Can queef on demand.
Queef on demand.
Okay.
And a minute that?
So I'm going to get it right now and send it to you.
Huh.
Cool. Yes. Breaking news.
That's another band name. Yeah. Queef on demand.
Queef on
QOD
demand.
Is what they go by. And you never tell anybody what it means, what it actually stands for. QOD.
I love it. What does that mean? It means Courtney queef on demand. Okay, here's an article. It's right here, the first one up. Kourtney Kardashian knows how to get air into her vagina.
Oh, my God.
I'll send this to you.
Okay, send that to me.
I mean, we had a woman in here who could do the same thing. Was trying to blow out candles.
And she did. I know, but why on earth would anybody know that Kourtney Kardashian can do that? Meanwhile, as rumors of Kylie's reunification with strange lover Travis Scott continue to swirl, she's posting multiple bikini shots of herself from her vacation with Uris Palmer next to a beautiful infinity pool.
I'll tell you what. Look at her the way she used to look and the way she looks now. And she is a tribute to modern science because she does look great. But she looks... It's hilarious to look at her and pictures of her without all this stuff. They are not the same people.
Yep. Nope, you're right. All right, we're moving away from those pipples.
Poosh.
How about this? Once again, a Hollywood icon has panned Marvel movies, and once again, James Gunn has spoken out in defense of them.
Ah, shut up.
The Guardians of the Galaxy filmmaker responded in an Instagram post Sunday to Francis Ford Coppola's comments at the Lumiere Festival in France this weekend. Coppola was asked whether he agreed with Martin Scorsese's comments that Marvel movies were not cinema, and the Godfather director said in part, Martin was kind when he said it's not cinema. He didn't say it's despicable, which I just say it is. Mm. So Gunn did not mention Scorsese or Coppola in his post by name, but did reference the latter's use of the word despicable when noting that superhero films aren't the first populist genre to receive derision from more artistic filmmakers. He said many of our grandfathers thought all gangster movies were the same,
yes,
often calling them despicable.
Yeah, that's true. In fact, The Godfather itself was criticized initially for painting that lifestyle in sort of a romantic way.
Yeah.
One of arguably perhaps the greatest American film of all time. Just an amazing masterpiece. But come on.
James Gunn also wrote, some of our great-grandfathers thought the same of Westerns and believed the films of John Ford, Sam Peckinpah, and Sergio Leone were all exactly the same. The Guardians of the Galaxy filmmaker noted that his great uncle dismissed his excited reaction to Star Wars by comparing the iconic blockbuster film to Stanley Kubrick's far more meditative 2001: A Space Odyssey, which he called boring. Superheroes, you said, are simply today's gangsters, cowboys, outer space adventurers. Some superhero films are awful. Some are beautiful.
Lest we forget that the original Star Wars was an episode 4, when it first came out, was an homage to the Buster Crabbe, Flash Gordon movie serials of the 30s mm-hmm. and 40s. And that's what it was. It's in a way, it's pure cinema.
He continued to say, like Westerns and gangster movies, and before that, just movies, not everyone will be able to appreciate them, even some geniuses, and that's okay.
I think there's room for both.
Yeah, Gunn is currently filming Suicide Squad, which will be released in 2021. After that, he's set to return to Marvel Studios to direct Guardians of the Galaxy 3, which currently has no set release date, but that's a ways off.
Yeah.
Coppola, meanwhile, is continuing to work on Megalopolis, a utopian drama that he's been developing on and off for 20 years, and which he says would require a larger budget than the infamously expensive Apocalypse Now. He said, I wanted to make a film about a human expression of what really is heaven on earth. And I would say it's the most ambitious film I've ever worked on, more than Apocalypse Now. That's the problem, he said.
So make the movie. Yeah. And you need to understand also that, you know, that a lot of what's keeping Hollywood alive now are these superhero films. Mm. But I mean, no one's stopping you from making these movies. And if it's great, people will go see it.
Yep.
But it's these kind of movies, the superhero movies, are the essence of a classic popcorn movie.
Agreed. Speaking of movies, Monica Lewinsky is producing a new documentary for HBO Max called 15 Minutes of Shame, about the, quote, public shaming epidemic in our culture, according to The Hollywood Reporter. Lewinsky, who has reinvented herself as an activist against bullying and public shaming, will appear on camera in the documentary, which looks at cases of people who have been publicly shamed. The latest project comes after Lewinsky signed on to produce the third season of FX's American Crime Story, which will revolve around the Bill Clinton impeachment scandal.
So she's part of the production of that?
Yeah, she's producing this documentary.
She sat down with John Oliver earlier this year, and they talked about public shaming. Most of the segment that John did was not with Lewinsky, but maybe the last 10, 15 minutes or so was. And it was really fascinating looking into news cycles and how people get shamed and sometimes things that they do wrong that they can't escape from. Monica was sort of at the peak of all of that, you know, in the 90s. Yeah.
Honestly, she got spared, though. She was pre-social media.
Yeah, it could have been worse.
Could you imagine?
Good point. 15 Minutes of Shame is what that's called. I don't know when that will be out. Zooey Deschanel and HGTV's Jonathan Scott have reached the all-important milestone of sharing their love on the gram.
Ah!
The pair went on a double date with Jonathan's twin brother, Drew Scott, and wife, Linda Fan.
I love you.
To Halloween Horror Nights.
Does she know which one she's banging? That's the question.
That's
because
a good question.
They are pretty, I mean, they're almost completely identical.
Well, except for one of them's got a 5 o'clock shadow. Because, you know, Steve,
he's cool.
He's cool. And, like, he's, you know, he's a construction guy. He doesn't have time to fully
shave. No. He's not like his dopey brother. Oh.
So Halloween Horror Nights was at Universal Studios in L.A. And they shared a picture from that night out. The new girl star captioned her photo writing, "Still processing how scared I was of these people dressed in spooky masks."
that's a great story.
They're a couple now.
I don't know why you're scared of these people. You know, jump scares, I understand that.
Yeah.
But when people, you know, and I say it to my kids who are like, you know, these clowns freak me out. I'm like, they're just people, you know? And
you're a little bit scared too, aren't you?
I'm not a little bit scared.
Why are we even here?
I think it's funny what people are.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
I'm scared.
No, because I'm not going to win this conversation.
All right, so Steve Harvey's 22-year-old stepdaughter, Lori Harvey, has been arrested.
What?
Yeah, just prior to 10 p.m.
Little Lori Harvey, whose communion I attended?
She's all grown up, Steve.
All grown up? Just and a felon?
Just prior... Well, I don't know if someone thinks it was a felony.
And a murderer?
No. Just prior to 10 p.m. on Sunday, the Beverly Hills Police Department received a report that a traffic collision occurred on the 200 block of Moreno Drive in L.A. during the accident. Her Mercedes SUV reportedly flipped over.
Wow.
And an eyewitness claims that she was texting while driving. Into another car. So that is not good. People reports that she was not injured, but that she attempted to flee the accident. Ah, Yeah, that's
She's a
bad.
Beautiful girl. Beautiful, thick mustache.
No, what?
No, she is a beautiful girl.
The flipping of the car just, that scares me.
Yeah.
Unlike the scary clowns and stuff like that, yeah. Casey, really.
It actually scares
the
you.
The thought of that, I don't know how people survive that. I mean, I know people do, but
Kathy entertained the notion that quite often it's scary clowns that flip cars.
But there's like 200 of them inside the car.
Yeah, and so
the
paramedics are working. There's another one. We've got another one. We're running out of stretchers.
There's so many clowns.
Police arrived.
I told this guy to stick out his clown, to stick out his tongue, and it went for 30 feet.
And she was arrested for a misdemeanor hit and run and prolonging or delaying a police investigation. So that could be some real trouble.
He has the death honk. This one, quickly.
The death honk.
He's raiding.
Chrissy Teigen is cooking up a new food website and should be up and running soon, she shared on Instagram. She wrote, working on the most epic holiday table to launch my site with. And she wrote alongside a snapshot with her daughter Luna lying exhausted next to a table filled with food.
Gotta say, this is fantastic news.
She said... Didn't want it to just look like a bunch of Photoshop dishes of the past, so the team made a plate, every single one, over 40, and you'll have the ability to drag and create the menu of your dreams.
What if you're looking, what if you are planning, or perhaps you're throwing Thanksgiving dinner for the first time, and you think, where on earth am I going to find recipes?
Yeah. Mm.
Chrissy Teigen.
Well,
the Cravings site is set to drop before Thanksgiving, so you're in luck.
There you go.
It's coming up.
Yep. She will save Thanksgiving.
All right, so listen to this. Here we go. 65-year-old Dennis Quaid has proposed to 26-year-old Laura Savoy after several months of dating.
Listen, it is completely loony, but I saw both of them together. He's in... 21, 22-year-old shape.
He's always been in phenomenal
shape. He's a genetic marvel. She's, they actually...
It's still, like, it's conversation. Still. What are they talking about? They live in two different worlds, essentially.
And
it's like talking to your kids. You know what I mean?
Don't know.
He's in 10 years, he's going to be 75 years old. She's going to be 36. That's still... Party age,
I'm 36,
I'm
still going out.
Yeah, yeah.
We were out with a couple, and they're wonderful, but she was saying she's younger, he's older, and she was saying she was 9 years old when he married his ex-wife.
Oh, my God.
And we all started bust out laughing.
Yeah. Well, all right, if they can make it work, you know. But he said of this, he said, I had the ring in my pocket. It's been kind of a month and a half plan, and I wanted it to be private. He was talking about the sunset proposal they had. He said she actually was taking a selfie of us, and I put the ring in front and said, will you marry me? And she just fell down, he said. So they're going to – I don't know when they're going to get married, but they're officially engaged.
Now you're ugly. Now I don't want to marry you.
How long were he and Meg Ryan together before? Because they never got married, right?
I'm not sure.
I don't think they did.
It was years.
Yeah, they were together for a good amount of
time.
And
she left him, and then she was with Russell Crowe.
That's right. And then she started tinkering with her face.
Right. Yeah, they did get married, Case. But
they did?
Yeah, it was 10 years. He was married to P.J. Souls before that. Wow.
Yes, from...
really?
From Stripes and...
Rock and Roll High School.
Yeah, and then married a woman named Kimberly Buffington. They got divorced last year. He's only been dating this 26-year-old since the summer.
But when you meet the right 26-year-old,
when you know
immediately. When you're in your 60s and you meet the right 20-year-old,
maybe he's getting advice from Randy.
There's sort of a chart, an Excel sheet would probably help you with this.
I guess so. Speaking of a little bit older people, we talked about Susan Summers. It was her birthday the other day, 73 years, and she had a naked picture of herself, and it quickly went viral. She tells Page Six it just felt right. That's why she did it. She said, we've lived in the same house for 43 years. We were wandering along one of the paths, and I took my top down. It was hot. The flowers were flowering. The bees were being. It just seemed like the right thing to do.
So did she get completely naked? Because they said they went back to the site where that photo was taken, and it now looks like a crop circle.
I don't know.
It looked like she had some panties on or something.
It was like a burn into the grass.
She joked of Hamill, her husband since 1977, saying he's seen me naked before.
So, this guy's credited Preston, this guy Hamilton, who she's been with for all this time, as the one who basically effed up her negotiations with Reese Company.
That's the guy?
That's the guy. Man. Yeah.
Okay. Did you guys see this, man? Some people will do anything for a like on social media, and therefore a staircase in New York City has become an unlikely landmark after it was featured in the movie Joker.
Yeah.
Fans are flocking to the location in the Bronx.
Take a picture on it?
Yeah. He dances on it.
To recreate scenes from the movie, and locals are taking to social media to remind people that the area might not be the safest. It's in a seedy area.
Right.
So the stairs are located at 167th Street in the Bronx, and were also heavily featured in promotional materials for the film.
So what would you say, I'll tell you, what would you say is another... What is the most famous staircase, outdoor staircase?
I mean, the Art Museum.
Art Museum.
Art Museum, absolutely.
Exorcist. And then
Exorcist.
Yeah.
Georgetown, yeah.
I've been to those.
So if you watched Saturday Night Live a couple of weeks ago with David Harbour, they did a spoof of this where it was Oscar the Grouch.
Yes.
But they used the staircase, and I was like, oh, I guess that the staircase is in New York, and I didn't realize that it was shot in New York because obviously it's Gotham City.
Right.
And Gotham's been shot in a whole bunch of different cities.
But right. I got to believe the Philadelphia Museum of Art is
number one
on the list of all famous staircases.
Or also, if you want to go back in the broad history of films, there's the stairs from the Battleship Potemkin where the baby carriage goes down. That's from years ago.
Oh. And then you have the Untouchables.
Untouchables.
So anyhow, a Twitter user wrote, those awful stairs on 167 are now renamed the Joker Stairs. So I just want to remind everyone that the Bronx is not a friendly place for tourist attractions. You will get robbed, my beloved. So somebody is saying flat out you want to stay away from there. Vin Diesel, ready to rock in Sony's Bloodshot. The first of the studio's new superhero universe populated by characters from Valiant Comics. The first trailer dropped with Diesel as Ray Garrison, a soldier recently killed in action and brought back to life by the RST Corporation.
They brought me back to life.
Yeah. I don't know this world.
I'm not familiar with that.
As Sony describes, with an army of nanotechnology in his veins, he's an unstoppable force, stronger than ever and able to heal instantly.
It immediately makes me indecisive and weak.
But in controlling his body, the company has sway over his mind and memories, too.
All right. We've seen similar plot lines in other movies and similar movies that he's been a part of, but I'll give it a shot.
And
it's
now,
similar to Upgrade. I love that movie.
Upgrade's really good.
It is. Oh, my God.
With a twist.
Those violent...
Oh, my God.
...moments make you go, I didn't know I signed up for this, man.
Yeah.
I was watching it with my son. We, like, our jaws dropped together. Oh, my God.
The very first kill.
With the knife?
Yes!
Oh, my God.
I was like, oh, my God, it's awesome.
It was
terrified.
Awesome. But now Ray doesn't know what's real and what's not, but he's on a mission to find out. Are they going to make another Upgrade movie? I mean, they kind of left it open.
They could. I would listen. I love its nihilistic ending in that, you know, it's sort of you don't get out of the Matrix.
Yeah, yeah.
But it would be kind of cool. It's so well done.
Sony dropped the Bloodshot, or it will be dropped on February 21st of 2020. We're watching the trailer right now. It looks pretty cool.
It looks pretty good. Be with your family.
By the way, Preston, there are similar deaths in the movie Brightburn. I enjoyed that movie.
Yeah.
There's one in particular.
With the jaw?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I will definitely make that
The Boys.
The Boys is awesome.
Yeah, that was.
Okay. Thank you, Vin. Can I call you Vin?
Absolutely.
Okay. Let's see. Speaking of trailers, Netflix released the trailer for season 3 of The Crown. We're starring Olivia Colman as Queen Elizabeth this time around. She said, let me see. No.
This is...
One of the things I hate about some of these stories I come across is they roll out the quote before they tell you who says it.
It's stupid.
So let me read it this way. On days like today, ask yourself, in the time I've been on the throne, What have I actually achieved? Asks Coleman's queen.
That's a stupid way to write copy. So you call from all over the internet, and then there's also a prep service that you use that supplies. Why, for broadcasters, would they lead with a quote?
I don't know.
They're idiots!
So anyhow, it's on the occasion of her silver jubilee commemorating 25 years on the throne. Crown Season 3 is going to hit Netflix on November 17th.
Who's playing James Bond?
He's not in it.
Oh, okay.
So, sorry, Steve. And then, one last story. Shia LaBeouf, his Peanut Butter Falcon, has earned $20 million to date.
Whoa.
That's not
bad.
They're
doing well.
An indie film?
Exactly. That's the thing. It's an indie film, and obviously we had the creators on the show about it. Stars Dakota Johnson, John Hawks, and Zach Gottsagen. And
that's a superhero movie.
No, it's not. It's a guy who wants to be a wrestler.
Yeah.
But according to, let's see here, Zajoras, it was devastating when the buyers weren't able to see what we were seeing. They wondered whether people would be interested in seeing a movie starring a person who actually has the syndrome, because he has Down syndrome.
Yes.
It's really good. A top five movies for me for 2019. It's phenomenally well done. Zach is an awesome actor. You forget 5 minutes into the movie that he has Down syndrome.
Awesome. I'm happy that it's doing well. All right. We're ready for the clips. So citizens find out how far they will go to survive a 12-hour period where all crime is legal in the Purge. Here, Derek Luke discusses the target on his character's back after surviving the first Purge.
One of the areas that I love is how, at least for Marcus, he's caught between two Purges. And he has 374 days to prepare for another one while he's being targeted.
You got it, dude.
I know this guy. He was Antoine Fisher. He's great. The Purge is on USA Network tonight at 9 p.m. Here's the next clip. In the final season, Arrow follows Oliver Queen's crusade to rid Starling City of villains and corruption. In this clip, Catherine McNamara talks about how the show's eighth season is paying tribute to previous seasons.
For people who love the show, it's going to be really special because each episode kind of pays respect to a different aspect that has made Arrow, Arrow. You know, we saw with the first episode, it went back to the pilot and went through all of those moments and all of those characters that we love so much. And that continues throughout.
A brand new episode of Arrow comes on at 9 p.m. on the CW. So it's the final season.
I love that show for the first 3 or 4 seasons. It was just was great.
Yeah.
And then, you know, listen, as a lot of times with these things, we talked about the beauty of the limited series.
Yeah.
It just started to, it was a repeat-itis.
Yeah.
Storylines. But he's not dead.
Right.
Oh, I'm dying.
That could happen.
But I'm back.
When something becomes really successful, they just can't let it go.
You
know what I mean? I know exactly what you're talking about. All right, that's the entertainment report for now. We'll have more goodies tomorrow, I'm certain of it. But for now, I want to give away some movie screening passes because we have a screening of Terminator Dark Fate in IMAX, by the way. Next Tuesday at 7:30 at the UA Riverview, and we'll hit theaters on November 1st. So let's take, we'll take the two callers at 215-263-WMMR, and we'll give you movie passes. So next Tuesday, UA Riverview, IMAX. Let's get you on board. We're going to take a quick break. Coming back in a moment or two, Harry Hamlin will be in our studio this morning.
So cool.
A little bit later on today.
Yeah.
And Tattoos Day and more. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR proudly supports the inaugural Market Street Run for Blue, presented by Wawa, Sunday, October 27th. The event benefits the Philadelphia Police Foundation with a run through historic Old City to 30th Street Station and back for a post-run festival at Penn's Landing featuring food and beverages courtesy of Wawa, awards for top finishers in multiple age groups, and fun for the whole family. Click events at WMMR.com for all the details and to get signed up. Sunday, October 27th. It's the Market Street Run for Blue, presented by Wawa. 93.3 WMMR is putting Philly first.
It's Tattoos Day today. We have your chance to win a Preston and Steve tattoo. Text word tattoo to 39333. We'll grab a random winner and a $350 gift certificate. World famous Philadelphia Eddie's could be yours, and you get your Preston and Steve tattoo right there at the shop on South 4th Street in South Philly. They're at 6621 South 4th. So we just mentioned that Dennis Quaid got engaged. He's 65 years old to his 26-year-old fiance now.
And as we determined, when you're in your 60s and you meet that right 20-year-old, you want to close that deal quickly.
Carpe diem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seize the moment.
Seize the 20-year-old.
Seize the 20-year-old.
So these are for Dennis, this list I have here. 8 marriage myths that you shouldn't believe, according to a couple's therapist.
Interesting, because so he's been married a couple, or at couple least times. Been, yeah.
And maybe he's bought into these myths, and therein lies the issue.
There's the folly. That's why. And maybe it's good that he's marrying someone decades younger than he is. Yeah.
Several
decades
younger,
with absolutely nothing to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Well, according to licensed marriage and family therapist Racine Henry,
he or she is good.
Racine. That's an interesting first name. Marriage myths mostly come from social folklore. Uh-huh. According to him, he says, we commonly say they say or I heard without any real source of fact attached to the statement. Our families and friends tell us what they believe, and those things can be influenced by cultural guidelines, personal experiences, and or superstitions, she says, by the way. So Racine is a girl.
I think a lot of us probably pull our take on relationships from The Bachelor Nation, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I know I do.
Yeah. First it was Temptation Island, and then right. Joe Millionaire was another one that right. I was like, okay,
this is how they know relationships. Yeah.
But apparently, you know, there are no hard and fast rules to follow, so it is what you make of it, so you might want to keep that in mind.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, and that's always good. Apply it as you see fit, like an ointment or like Blue Emu.
Yeah, that doesn't stink.
Right.
You know what? And, there's one of the myths. I scanned through this quickly, and there was one I was going to mention right off the bat, but I'll get to that later on as it comes up in this list. But
when you're in your 60s, always date a 20-year-old?
I don't believe that.
Yeah.
No, but there's one that I'd always heard that you should stay true to, and I'm like, maybe not always, but anyhow. So here's number one. And Casey, okay. I know that you subscribe to this, or that it's a myth,
or at least you pick it up at the newsstand.
Your spouse should be your best friend.
Yeah.
And it says just because you're going to live happily ever after with this person doesn't mean that you have to be BFFs for life.
Yeah, I mean, your spouse can be your best friend.
Correct.
But it doesn't have to be that way.
There you go. While they should be your ultimate support system, you don't have to like everything they like or do everything together.
Oh, on the term of something like that, even, you know, it's okay even if your friends aren't into everything you're into. That's fine. But as far as, yes, I consider my wife my best friend in that we can have, you know, the best time together, and I love spending time with her. But we do not do everything together because there's stuff she likes to do that I don't like to do.
Yeah.
And I think some people perceive it as this person will be my one. This is everything. Everything I do, we'll do together.
Right.
We'll be into the same things. Don't look for that because that's the road to folly.
Yeah. I remember my friend was, you know, he loves to play golf, and it's not you, Preston. And we're like, oh, you know. Like,
and he's in a band called Saint, but it's not you, Preston.
But it's not you, Preston. No. We were saying to us, oh, you should get into golf. And he goes, if my wife starts playing golf, I'm going to start playing tennis. Like, you know, like
you want your separate things. I think it makes a relationship healthier. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Although I my future in golf is question mark right now because of my bad shoulder. But I've always wanted her to play golf because for down the road when we're empty nesters and we're looking for stuff to do together and to kill some time, I thought that would be kind of cool. But I don't want to be in a band with her.
I wouldn't mind. In fact, I've played golf. My wife played golf one time in her life and was on our honeymoon. We had a great time. And I'm with you. Like, I would love to be able to go out.
Yeah.
But for this particular guy, that was the one thing that he liked to go out to do either by himself or with friends or
have
whatever.
Those things.
Yeah.
If you don't have those things, one of the most when we started fighting early in our relationship is because, again, she would feel obliged to go to things that I was doing that she didn't want to do. And finally we just said,
You don't have to.
Don't do it.
Agreed.
You're going to have a better time because you know you're not dragging me along, and I'll have a better time because I'll know you're not there and you don't want to be there. I appreciate the gesture that you want to make me happy, but I don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And it made things so much better.
I think some people can be a little unsure of themselves. What's the word I'm looking for?
Communist?
No. Where they feel a certain way when their spouse refers to somebody else as their best friend. It's like, well,
oh, insecure.
Insecure. That's butthurt. The word I'm looking for. And
butthurt.
But I've said this and I'll say this until the day I die. Spouse supersedes best friend.
Yeah. Agreed.
Right?
But you can still have a best friend.
You can still have a best friend.
I'm with you. Yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah. And sometimes it's labels like that can confuse people. So
labels.
But according to Racine, she says, you and your spouse should have the relationship you both desire according to what you both believe is healthy and realistic, period. Whether you are best friends or not doesn't mean anything about your relationship. Ultimately, you should enjoy spending time with each other, have the intimacy you both desire, and have a healthy method of resolving issues.
Issues. Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't want to go shopping, and I would hope she wouldn't force me to go along, drag me along.
At gunpoint.
To go shopping.
No, Preston, so I always say this. Here's a good litmus test. Both sit on the couch and put on QVC for 3 hours. And if you can make jokes and have fun and laugh and still enjoy that person, then that's a good person to be with.
Mm-hmm. All right, here's another myth. Every argument has a resolution.
Yeah, we're always right. 100%.
Yeah, no, that's what O.J. Simpson says. I've got a great resolution in mind.
As many times as we're told that there is a solution to every problem, sometimes there just isn't.
Yeah, but then that's a continuing fight.
Nope. Sometimes you agree to disagree.
Like, bingo.
Yeah.
Yep. If you can come to that conclusion, look, we're just never going to.
Because
but it doesn't creep back up then?
It's a question of ego. I need you to accept my thing categorically, and then it'll be right. So you have your perception, and I have my perception. And like Claire and I got used to that. Okay. But also the trick is to walk away and go, okay.
That's the thing. So, okay. Kathy, it probably will creep back in.
So, like, you're in
year
the
after
house.
Year, but you just have to be able to go,
okay.
All right. Okay.
Okay, we know this is something we just don't see eye to eye.
It's your ability to do that.
Yeah. Well, I think politically, like, couples that are separated on different sides, I don't know how that exists. I don't know how that works.
I know.
I don't understand it.
Yep.
Sometimes you just pretend that the other person's right and you walk away from the
argument. Right. I'm sure that happens a lot.
To be honest,
that solves the problem.
Perception's reality.
Totally.
And if that's the case and it works, do it.
You know what, honey? You're right.
Yeah.
So no, you don't say that.
You just don't verbalize it.
Don't verbalize it.
Racine Henry says sometimes you have to agree to disagree and let a topic go. You may never reconcile it or lay it to rest beyond agreeing that it is a topic that you avoid and ignore. This does not mean your marriage is failing or unhealthy. It may just mean you are two different people who cannot see eye to eye about something. I'm sure we have people listening right now. There's something you and your spouse you will never.
Don't discuss.
Ever agree on, ever.
And that's not a hole in the relationship.
Right.
That's just smart. You know, you just don't agree on some things. That's totally fine. If it's an agitation, there's an entire rest of your lives to live. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, you know what my wife and I don't
whether
think,
Hulk could beat Hulkbuster.
I don't think we'll ever agree on is which way the toilet paper goes on the roll.
Yeah.
And
or whether or not you should use it.
No. We both agree that you should use it, but I put toilet paper on the right way and she doesn't.
Top
down?
Yeah, goes over.
Does it matter? It does matter to you guys?
No, you know what? Consider this. No. You're bowling it up and jamming it in your butt.
It comes off of the toilet paper roll easier.
There you go.
There you go. Mr. Morrison.
Yeah. Aesthetically.
By the way, did you guys see my notes in the bathroom this morning?
No.
What? You didn't?
No.
Oh, is this still out of toilet paper?
Yeah.
Oh, I saw the
dude, it was out of toilet paper yesterday.
Did you do that last week?
No.
Because someone had the courtesy to put up on the door out of TP, so I went to another bathroom.
Can you fill me in here?
I saw that. So we were out of toilet paper. In the men's room. So I this morning I went in there and I did my business. It was a flashback to Casey when you caught me with my pants down in there.
Did you have to move stalls?
I did. I moved over to the second stall. And Kathy was out in the second stall.
Did you have to use regular?
But fortunately, it wasn't so messy that I could pull my underwear.
Use your shirt.
And I walked in. I used my shirt.
You just sit over the sink?
No, I got some
paper
ass gaskets.
Oh, paper towels. Okay.
You had to use paper towels.
Yeah, but
you wet them.
I moistened them, yeah. So it didn't rip.
The
my
man played bottom. It. Man played it right.
And so anyhow, so what I did after that is I happened to have my highlighter on me.
You put that in your butt?
No.
What is that?
I got two pieces of paper towel,
you
and
wrote
I wrote
note?
No PTP.
Yeah.
And set it over the toilet paper dispenser.
Awesome. Huh. Because if you go in and you see that, and you don't want someone to replicate your horrible situation. Someone actually stuck a note on the door going in last week, and I appreciate them doing that.
Fortunately, everything was a clean movement this morning. It wasn't mushy.
It was like a good cellist pressing has a clean movement.
Yeah.
So anyhow, not every argument has a resolution.
Exactly. Getting back to the core issue.
Mm. Yes, correct.
And if you really want to win the argument, just without them even saying sorry, you just say apology accepted and then walk away. It works every time.
Oh, yeah. It just drives them absolutely insane, right?
You know, I know this because my wife has now turned that around on me. And I'm like, that's mine.
Yep. By the way, so it states here that if this myth usually references those everyday topics that you can let go, but if your partner can't agree on core values like having kids, religion, money, stuff like that, you may want to reevaluate things. Although religion, you can finagle that.
Sometimes it will not. Sometimes it'll be too much to handle, and you can't get past that. But you know. At least give it a try.
Hang on a second here. So Jay's got a core value type of issue. I'm going to go to Jay. You're on the air. Good morning, Jay.
Hey, Dorton, guys.
Dorton.
Haven't heard that in a while.
Love Dorton.
What's up, dude?
I just wanted to explain to you about, I'll start the conversation off with, if you just respect the other person, you'll get along.
Yeah,
that's good advice.
I supported Trump. My girlfriend didn't.
Yeah.
I eat meat. My girlfriend doesn't. So I just respect what she thinks, and she respects what I think, and we get along.
And have legitimate respect for the deal. Does she try to convince you for,
vegan lifestyle vegetarian?
We have our conversations, our arguments, quote-unquote. But she's never going to change me. I'm a full-on hunter. You know, I bring home deer every season.
Right.
And, you know, she just doesn't look at it, basically. You know?
Okay. All right.
I cook my food. I cook differently than her. She doesn't look at what I eat. You know, if I'm eating buffalo wings, she turns away.
Okay.
Hey, when you bring the deer home, do you put the severed head on top of your head when you walk in through the door? Hey, honey, I'm home.
Exactly what I do, yeah.
Well, that's cool, man, because those are two big things, Jay. Politics and... diet, you're eating all the time in each other's company, and if you can get past that, but he's right, show some respect and don't just immediately jump to diminishing the other person's opinion.
All right, here's another myth, a relationship myth, and you hear this stat all the time. 50% of marriages end in divorce. And according to the marriage counselor, this statistic is not true. People are still carrying this finding from a study that was done at least a decade ago, which included first, second, and third marriages. Also, it was not generalizable to the whole population, nor was it reflective of a trend. At the end of the day, this stat shouldn't keep you up at night. Don't worry about what everyone else is doing and try to focus on building the healthiest relationship that you can with your partner. So that's not really, you know.
I always heard second marriages have a higher rate of divorce than first marriages.
Really?
Yeah, because people often, and I don't, maybe this is an outdated stat too, Preston. I'd be interested to hear if it's accurate, but people rush into second marriages coming out of a first marriage.
To fix the mistakes of the first marriage?
Yeah, or because.
Get a do-over quickly?
Because they missed the first marriage. And, you know, I'm divorced, so I'm in the divorced stat. But I'm not in a hurry to get married a second time. Neither is my girlfriend, fortunately. So, but I'm really curious as to see what the stats are on second marriage.
They do say the fourth marriage to the 20-year-old is the one that's most likely to last forever.
I would think you're not, because it's viewed as like embarrassing. And I would think second time around, you don't care as much. Like you're like, done it. It's not that embarrassing. I'm just going to go through with it again.
Also, the second marriage for some people is not so much about the other people as it is about them. So they do it. They get married for the right reason.
I will tell you this. It's a thing that I've learned over time, and when my wife and I went to some couples counseling, while it sounds selfish, do what makes you happy. Because if you are happy, the people you are with will be happy. It has sort of a ripple effect, and while you look out for what you want, and if everyone's doing that, then you end up at a situation where everyone is happy on all sides of the relationship, in your thruple.
In your thruple?
Yeah.
We're going through some marriage myths, according to a couple's therapist. Here's another myth. Old problems don't exist once you get married. It says relationships are a lot of work.
If you were a serial killer, I would say, yeah, that would still come back to haunt you.
The problems won't disappear the minute you and your partner put rings on each other's fingers. They said a wedding is a glorified party. It's not a magic spell that resolves every problem.
It's true.
Wipes the slate clean. All the problems that you had before you got married can and will resurface during your marriage if you do not truly come to an understanding about them.
Now, the best way to get rid of those problems, now, marriage, I won't do it, but have children. That'll take care of everything.
Yeah.
Jesus. If you have really wipes the slate clean and you're well on your way to euphoria.
If you feel like you and your partner still have a lot of issues, opt to see a couples therapist before you walk down the aisle. They can help resolve some of the problems you can no longer ignore.
I mean, listen, look at, like, Rochelle took a chance with you moving across the country.
Yeah,
you know, my wife and I, we had our ups and downs and things, you know, and yet, you know, listen, it was what existed before the wedding existed after, you know. That's why some people think the second you go through that process and the ceremony and the honeymoon, well, here we go.
Right, right.
You're not the dickhead I was dating.
Here's another one. Sex after marriage either doesn't happen or is bad.
Bad.
Comparing your sex life to another couple's will only make you feel bad about your relationship. Hmm. What works for one couple...
If you live next door to Peter North. Yes.
What works for one couple might not work for another.
How old is that guy?
He's got to be in his... He's got to be pushing 60, I would
say. He's probably down to, what, 4 or 5 feet at most now.
Or a couple gallons. But if you're not happy with your current sex life, address it with your partner so that you are both on the same page, especially before you get married.
Yeah. We used to joke when we were in, like, high school, like, oh, my parents only had sex 4 times because, you know, they had 4 kids. But that's true. We only had sex 3 times. We have 3 kids.
So it says here that you don't have to be unsatisfied or unhappy just because you're married. It's important to communicate your needs to your partner so that you can both be aware of what is lacking. If you don't talk about the sex being different or unenjoyable, that pleasure may be sought elsewhere. That in mind.
I like figging.
Jesus. We haven't heard that term in a little while.
Is she on
Before
board?
We get married, I like figging, honey.
That's where you shove ginger in your crevices. the actual root, ginger root.
My husband told me he likes figging. Aren't those the cookies?
Those are Fig Newtons.
Fig Newtons.
Huh. Oh. Mm-hmm.
Well, by the way,
he's got some cookies in his butt right now.
Peter North is 62 and, fun fact, Canadian.
Oh.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's why he's so polite.
The Great White North.
There you go.
There you go.
I think he went by that, actually.
He started in gay porn.
Yes, he did.
A lot of them did.
Yep, you are correct.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not gay, but you have to make a buck.
That's where you became a fan of Fig.
Exactly. Can we do something else?
I have range.
Yeah. Come on. Tired of this.
Here's another marriage myth. Name calling is normal. No, it's not. No matter how angry you and your future spouse get, you should never call each other nasty names. I've never had heard that part of a normal marriage is calling your spouse
no,
a
name? I would never. The only thing, she calls me F-nut, and I call her the C-word.
Yeah, yeah, that's all?
That's it, but we don't let it get past that. No, I've never...
F-nut.
I've never...
I love it.
No, that's...
No.
That's diminishing.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you can't do that.
You know what?
Because once you start to say that... You may start to believe that.
Yeah.
I think people think they can get away with it because they're in a place where it's quote-unquote safe.
Right.
So they bring their problems home from work or from other outside relationships or whatever, and they take it out on their spouse. And they'll say names that they don't want to say out in public or whatever.
You can't direct that at the person
exactly.
You supposedly love.
But I think that's what happens.
Okay, here's one I was going to bring up at the beginning. I said, remember that there was an old saying... that I kind of don't necessarily believe is hard and fast true. Never go to bed angry. And you've heard that over and over.
I don't believe that.
Yeah.
I
don't believe that, too. I think there are some times when we need to take our whatever our issues may be and go and think about them for a moment.
That was too many figs. I don't think I want to talk to you now.
It's not figs, it's ginger.
What?
That's the problem.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's called figging.
No,
you're
really?
You're using ginger. Figs?
That's the problem.
I have a whole pack of cookies up my ass. But, yeah, I agree with you.
I've been doing this wrong the whole time.
That notion, I think, is not correct. I think what you have to do is be civil about it. And sometimes, yes. I believe, let's sleep on this.
And it's wonderful.
And we can revisit.
It's wonderful if you can resolve an issue, but sometimes it takes a little bit of time.
And also sometimes, like, say you have to get up at 3:45 in the morning.
Dude, so, listen, I and Rochelle and I have talked about this before, and there was a time when, and this is not a slight against her, it's just how she operated, but she would let something stew all day long, and I would be walking up to go to bed, and then I would get the, I need to talk to you. I'm like,
no!
Not now!
And you're thinking in the morning, 5 minutes to brush my teeth, 10 minutes to spank it. I'm
not. Shut up. No, but I would, no, just because I got to get to bed. I have to work early in the morning. And we eventually talked about it, and I'm like, if you need to talk about it, please do not wait till the last second.
Because also you might acquiesce or usually, I agree. Let cooler heads prevail.
Yep. So it says here, while it may be uncomfortable to go to bed without solving an issue, sometimes one partner needs time to think and sleep on the argument before they can finish the conversation or provide a healthy resolution.
I'll tell you what, Claire always respects that if I say I'm going to need some time with this.
Okay.
And she
That's
will,
a good way to put
she,
it.
She will break off and we will break my junk off. No, she'll break off for a little bit and then we can revisit it.
The instance of continuing an argument for hours upon hours just to avoid going to sleep angry could intensify and prolong tension.
Yep.
Instead, it may be better to pause the conversation so that both partners can get rest and then readdress the issue with a calm and clear mind.
So far she's been pretty good, this therapist.
Yeah.
All right.
There's only one other myth on here, and that is that your
Rotten-ass monster.
well, we know that's true. it says here that your spouse should meet and fulfill all of your needs. But it says, in addition to your spouse not being your best friend, you shouldn't expect them to fulfill all of your needs either. Having a healthy romantic relationship means both of you understand that you're both individual, whole people who are coming together to create a life together. And if that means that you need to spend time apart, either by yourself or with other friends, then you got to do it.
I agree.
I never had that expectation of this will meet all of my needs.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, because for the last few summers, I have gone off to do these like adventures with my cousins.
Yeah.
And, I was just in Utah and Arizona this summer.
For Fig Fest.
It's weird to fig with your relatives. But once you can fully like let go.
Well, now that I know how to do it right, I think it'll be better. I think our relationship will prosper.
Yeah, we spent time at a ginger farm in New Hampshire.
Oh, that's great.
We ended up climbing Mount Washington, and we figged at the top of Mount Washington.
The farmer goes over and cracks. Smell that. Think about that up your butt.
Figging in nature is like, oh my God.
It's the best.
Yes.
No, it's the way God intended it.
Yeah.
Here's a text that says, the name calling makes me crazy. My two friends are married, and they call their husbands idiot and moron all the time.
To their faces?
And I cringe every time. To them, it's super normal, but I think it's embarrassing.
I hear that when I'm out with, and it used to be more when we were, when you're dating or when you're perhaps, but before, like, it doesn't happen now with married couples. I would be put off.
Yeah,
if somebody referred to their wife or husband as the idiot or the moron, I'm like, no.
There's definitely like I think playful ribbing, and I've seen it.
We do that.
Yeah,
we do that and do that for fun.
But if I heard, I don't know, any of like my brothers or friends refer to their spouse like,
in a serious tone
to their face. You know, I think it's a little bit different if you're just having a private conversation and said spouse is not in the room, then you're just sort of venting or whatever. But, like, when you actually say that...
It's verbal abuse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. And it sets up a bad dynamic.
Yeah, exactly. So
it's good stuff.
I thought these were interesting points, and some of the stuff definitely rings true. Yeah, Casey, Nick had texted that person that was saying that their friends called them these things, and it says yes to their faces, even in front of groups of people.
Oh,
that's not good. That's disrespectful.
Yeah, that doesn't sound healthy at all.
Divorce.
Well, no, but I wonder if I would
50%.
If it was like one of my friends, if I would say something.
Dude, you let her get, you let that bitch get away with that?
Yeah. Oh, no. No, if he were the offender, not the offended.
At home, I cracked the whip with my gash. Yeah. Oh, my
no, if he were the offender and not the offended.
Yeah.
I would feel more comfortable calling out a guy friend.
I would.
Than
I
calling
think
out.
I think I might have to say something like, "Dude, you sure that's the wisest thing to do?" Or
so
why
you'd pair them away. You wouldn't do like if you were there at the point of altercation, yeah. Where they if it was there, it was done in front of
right.
you.
I don't think
you would. Yeah.
Yeah.
Could Dude, you? This could is you? Your... Could you follow me into the kitchen? I just got some new figs. No. But fresh ginger. Pair them away so you can do the deal. And
I probably would do it like another time. But like, hey, that's your like teammate in life.
Yeah.
You know, this is the one that. That you're going to count on and that is counting on you to, like, be there and, you know, I don't know. It's just,
yeah.
I find what you said to be extremely disrespectful.
Yeah. I mean, normally the thing is to just not get, you know, to not intercede, but it's something people may not get. They get so comfortable saying they may not realize how bad it is. Because, again, what we said earlier, you say it enough and you may begin to believe that.
No, I agree with you on that. So these are marriage myths you shouldn't believe, according to the couple's therapist, Racine Henry. So,
yeah, and she's also a NASCAR driver.
I was not aware of that, but rock on, man. All right, let's take a break. I have some stories we're going to share in the form of the Bizarre File when we return. Harry Hamlin, the actor, will be in our studio today. He's appearing at the Delaware Theater Company on the 23rd, starting actually, tomorrow through November 10th for One November Yankees. We'll spend some time with him a little bit later on. We'll be back in a moment. Make sure you stay with us.
MMR rocks Stone Temple Pilots, celebrating 25 years of Purple. Listen all this weekend to win a special 2-CD newly remastered version of the band's landmark mega album. For the Super STP fans, we've got the one-hour national radio special featuring STP's Robert DeLeo and Eric Kretz, hosted by our very own Pierre Robert. WMMR.com for broadcast times and all the details, including a shot for MMR VIPs to win a super deluxe vinyl edition of Purple, available from Rhino Records, Stone Temple Pilots, and 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
I want to mention a charity event that I'm going to be hosting. It is coming up on Saturday, November 16th at Rivercrest Country Club in Phoenixville. It's the Mother's Wish Gala. My wife is on the board. It is for research and treatment for Crohn's disease. Our daughter has Crohn's disease. So my house right now is the staging area.
Oh, no.
for all the centerpieces and all the decorations.
This is the big event you guys do. This is the big event, and everyone who goes to these things just raves on them.
So thank you to everybody who has so far contributed stuff that we're going to have for the raffles. We have so much booze in my house right now.
Baskets of cheer?
My God, huge. Yeah. Like, I'm salivating when I walk through the room that we have set up. And you know, it's everybody from locals, like Revivalist and States.
Revivalist is awesome. Stateside, they're great.
And Stateside, but also some national groups like Jim Beam and a few others that have contributed just tons of liquor to be given away. So if that interests you, come out for the event. And you can go to, let me get the website.
Is it cool how generous people are?
Just go to PrestonandSteve.com. Yes, it is. Absolutely. You can go to PrestonandSteve.com or a MothersWishFoundation.org. And it's drinking and dancing. It's what we're going to be doing. We're going to have a good time and dinner, obviously, as well. So that is on Saturday, November 16th, Rivercrest Country Club in Phoenixville. Come if you can. We're going to have a good time. All right, we're going to do the Bizarre File. Here we go.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Delilah's. And Delilah's presents a Night at the Movies 2, their 28th anniversary party on Wednesday, October 23rd, with guest DJ PS1. Visit Delilahs.com. For details. So a private college in India, maybe you guys saw the pictures of this, is apologizing after its students were seen wearing boxes on their heads during an exam earlier this week.
Yes, I laughed out loud when I saw the picture.
A plan supposedly devised to stop cheating. In images circulated on social media, students of the college in Haveri were sitting at their desks during a chemistry midterm with what appears to be cardboard cartons on their heads.
It looked like a class of Lego people.
Yeah, totally. The images surfaced after college staff member Satish Herer had posted them on his Facebook account the day of the test. Herer reportedly captioned the pictures, "It's our college midterm exam today." The country's Department of Education soon caught wind of the pictures and immediately rebuked the school's anti-cheating measures. They said, "We've clearly told the management to give a written explanation of this, and if this kind of incident is repeated in the future, the department will cancel the license of the school." So they did not agree with that. Did you know it's illegal to drive a Segway while you're intoxicated, Nick?
Not in the parking lot.
That's true. It might have been legal when we did it. But Andy... A guy named Andy Segers was, he found out the hard way that driving drunk while on a Segway can land you in jail. Not only did Segers drunkenly ride the Segway, but he did so outside a sheriff's office substation. A lieutenant saw Segers unsteadily riding the Segway in the middle lanes, swerving and impeding traffic.
You have to have a little bit of sense of balance when you're doing that to get it to move.
Yeah.
That should have been an impressive display.
The lieutenant said that there were other clues. Segers was intoxicated, slurred speech, smelled of alcohol, and had watery eyes. But the most incriminating factor was the fact that he told the lieutenant he had consumed 2 bottles of wine before he got on board. I provided a breath sample resulting in 0.243.
Wow.
Yeah, he was almost 3 times the legal limit of 0.08.
Do they still have those tours in Philly?
Yeah. I believe
those
so.
Segway tours?
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder if people ever get drunk doing those because they'll go out in town and...
It's a good question.
No, they won't get drunk.
They won't let
doing...
you?
No. They won't... You don't, like, stop for lunch or anything like that. It's, you know, the tour is the tour, so... You would have to
show up that way or do it after.
Show up that
yeah,
way.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah.
Hopefully they'd be able to tell. This might make most people burn their house down, not write about it online, but Michael Diamond says that he was recently gifted an antique ventriloquist doll that was made by a prisoner in a World War II Stalag 2B camp.
Oh,
Diamond noticed that the glass cabinet that he keeps the dummy in kept opening up, so he set up a GoPro camera to film it during the night. He says he caught footage of the door of the cabinet opening and then the mouth and the eyes of the dummy moving.
No.
I'm going to kill you.
He says he's not scared of the dummy, who is named Mr. Fritz, by the way, but admitted that he is wary of it and keeps it locked
Shut
away.
Up, dummy.
He keeps it locked away in a room full of others' collector's items. I'd burn it. I'd
burn the house down?
I'd
kill everybody I know.
I'd destroy it. Crews from the Phoenix Fire Department have returned from helping local authorities search for a man who fell into a sinkhole and was swept away in a storm drain.
Oh, my God.
So the ground opened up underneath this guy and
nightmarish.
Swallowed him up and he was gone.
Didn't have a chance.
The incident
happened. He was rescued by a ventriloquist dummy.
The incident happened last Monday when a large sinkhole opened up in Hermosillo, Mexico, and the man was swallowed up by it and carried away by the underground water currents. Phoenix, a sister city to Hermosillo, sent technical advisors from the Phoenix Fire Department to help with the rescue operation on Friday morning. The group returned from assisting authorities. Officials said that there are several different drainage pipes that the missing man could have been carried through, so authorities are currently searching those pipes in hope of finding him. Wow. That's an absolute horror nightmare.
I mean, then there's nothing you can do. No. Your number's up. You're just walking along.
Yep. An explosion was heard and felt through the entire city of Richland Center on Saturday evening. Dispatch got several calls about an explosion being heard and felt by residents on Saturday. A deputy reported a large plume of smoke north and west of his location. Police fire units combed the area for almost an hour looking for the cause of the explosion. Officials said that the smoke started to dissipate and it made it harder for the emergency crews to locate where the explosion took place. They talked with a person who directed them to a source of the blast, which was near a wooded area on top of a ridge. So officials met Jacob Busser, 22 years old, on the property where the explosion took place. The property is...
on my planet, I was a botanist.
He's owned by his father and was the location of a field party. And after officials talked to Busser, they learned that about 10 pounds of tannerite...
Oh, my God.
A highly explosive material used commonly in shooting targets had been set up and shot at with a firearm. Shooting at the tannerite caused the entire 10 pounds of material to detonate at once, causing the enormous blast.
Do you remember that gender reveal where the guy shot the tannerite and caused a fire that got out of control?
Huge fire. By the way, where do you get that stuff? And can just anybody go out and buy this highly explosive material?
People, if you can get it for a gender reveal party,
I would think.
At Party City?
I've never really looked into how one goes about
tannerite?
Acquiring tannerite.
I'm going to check Amazon.
The blast was reported from a large area of Richland County as calls reported are inquiring about the incident were logged. The incident is being forwarded to the district attorney's office for possible charges and remains under investigation. So maybe it depends state by state whether or not you can purchase it. I'm not really sure.
You can't be from New Jersey.
And there you go. That is what I have for you in the Bizarre File this morning. All right, let's take a break. A reminder that we have Tattoos Day taking place. Chance for you to win a Preston and Steve tattoo. Text the word tattoo to 39333. And if you don't know how to spell that, it's T-A-T-T-O-O. And we'll grab a winner at some point this morning to win a $350 gift certificate from World Famous Philadelphia Eddie's Tattoo. As we're taking a break, and after you're done texting that, how about we give away a case of beer to caller number 15 at 215-263-WNMR. It's Yards Loyal Lager, crisp, clean, solid American craft lager. Drink Philly Loyal and pick up Yards Loyal Lager at domestic and imported beverages in Glen Mills. Caller 15. Set you up. Be back in just a moment.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
You guys hungry? I could eat.
All right, let's do it.
Let's open up the restaurant because the connoisseur has found some very interesting things.
Interesting things from the connoisseur who knows all the good stuff to eat, gets the best tables in town, and, well, you know, same old crap.
Yeah. researchers suggest that the ingredients in chocolate chip cookies...
Now you're talking.
Well, that's why I brought it up. Trigger the same addictive response in the brain as cocaine and marijuana.
Yeah, you goddamn Sorry. Right they do.
I never did any of those, so I guess that's why I eat cookies.
Listen, I got into cookies to get off cocaine.
They can be dangerously addictive, according to the latest reports.
I love chocolate chip cookies. It is my kryptonite. A kryptonite I adore.
You never smoke podcast ever?
No.
No.
Wow. That's crazy.
No. It got in the way of the heroin.
Okay. A traditional chocolate chip cookie contains 2.5 teaspoons of sugar.
And 5 teaspoons of cocaine.
Which induces some of the same responses as cocaine. So to give you perspective on what a teaspoon of sugar would be. So a packet of sugar is usually a teaspoon.
Mm-hmm.
So 2.5 packets of sugar per cookie.
Wow. Yeah.
That's a lot of sugar, right?
That's
a
lot of sugar.
That's what I like.
Yeah.
It's healthy.
As for chocolate, it contains small amounts of a compound. I think it's a packet is a teaspoon. You know, I should verify that.
Huh.
Hmm. If someone could get me some packets of sugar, that
would
be great.
And a teaspoon, please.
And you know what I actually did? I learned from a chef.
Oh, with your hand?
Yeah. If you can eyeball in your palm what a teaspoon looks like, then you won't ever need a measuring.
So you know how to do it?
So I know how to do it, yeah.
So you
I don't use
put the sugar in your eye?
There you go. No. So instead of using measuring spoons, I just pour whatever it is I'm using in my hands.
We have an actual teaspoon and a packet.
No, we don't have an actual teaspoon.
What is that?
This is a yogurt. This is from
tablespoon.
It's not a tablespoon. It's from Menchie's.
It's just a spoon.
It's just a spoon for eating frozen yogurt. So
yeah, but like, isn't it a spoon that you put on a table? I just assumed that that's what a tablespoon was.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. All right. Well, whatever.
That's not what a tablespoon is. A tablespoon is a measurement.
I know that it's a measurement. I just assume that whatever you could fit in a tablespoon, you could probably fit into a tablespoon.
Yeah, okay. Hang on a second. I have the sugar here.
All right, we're going to do this because we want to make sure, as you know, the show is unerringly correct about every piece of information that we put out.
That might be a half teaspoon, actually.
Ooh. No.
Okay.
That looks more like a teaspoon.
Preston, right we have there. A picture up on our screen. Why don't you pour the sugar on the TV and see if
right. This... Actually, it looks like a half teaspoon.
So you don't have any, like, pretty measuring spoons or anything like that?
I do. I just don't need to use them.
Oh, okay.
So,
I have gold ones.
Gold ones?
Yeah.
I just love pretty measuring spoons.
And you never use them.
I've never used them. They've actually never been used. They still have the plastic on them. But they're so nice. Target came out with this gold collection, and I bought everything and don't use it.
You should use them as earrings.
A typical sugar packet in the United States contains 2 to 4 grams of sugar. Well, that's not standard amount. That's 2 to 4.
And they use a lot more in Poland.
Okay.
Those cookies must be huge.
Yeah. Anyhow, moving on to chocolate chip cookies. As for chocolate, it contains small amounts of a compound that trigger the same part of your brain as the addictive ingredient in marijuana, THC.
This has long been the thing, especially with your darker chocolates, correct?
I believe so.
Right, yes.
The two ingredients together create a harmonious flavor that can double the addiction. And so apparently that's why you want to keep eating chocolate chip cookies.
Can I buy some cookies from you?
Brought it down.
Yeah.
That's quite like it.
What's that?
It reminds me of perhaps going down on a hobo.
That would be unusual.
Unusual.
Yes, yes.
Salty and sweaty.
Yes.
The taste of a life of regret. With just a hint of seminal fluid.
Oh boy.
Oh, my God.
Anything I've ever tasted. I suggest that you try something.
You see that Louis B. Mayer dropping by the house? How about the folks from Paramount are coming by tonight. I'm going to break out my best bottle of Thunderbird.
Mm-hmm.
Really delightful. Miss Alec Guinness is coming by tonight. We're going to have some Bosco.
He is putting it on ice.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Make it nice.
It numbs your taste buds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The whole campaign for Riuniti was Riuniti on ice, right?
Yeah. Riuniti ice, so nice.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you guys ever drink beer on ice?
On occasion, yeah. I mean, if I just, you know, if it's warm, I feel like having a beer, and I'm not in the mood for anything else, and a little bit of ice in there to cool it off real quick.
You still doing beer in the shower?
I've not done beer in the shower in a while. I'm overdue.
Yeah.
Overdue for beer in the shower. Maybe I'll make that part of my weekend plan.
Do you make your plan? You say, tonight I'm going to do beer in the shower, or do you just happen to be drinking a beer while you decide to take a shower?
No. I wouldn't.
How about wild turkey in the shower?
I would not take an already, like, half-drunken beer into the shower.
It's like a fresh one.
The beer is opened for the purpose of going into the shower.
Last night I tried a sensational thing. Nachos in the shower. The water allowed all the stuff to permeate the chips. So I never felt as if I was getting a chip bereft of the stuff.
James Mason's better living.
Wouldn't it be great if cheese came out of the shower head while you're in there?
This is wonderful.
Yes.
I put it on wit. I'm taking a shower wit.
Do you guys remember Shamboobs?
No.
Yeah.
Shamboobs.
Yeah, it's not something, Preston, that you would put in your bathroom today, but for like a fraternity house, they were boobs that you would put over like your shower head, and shampoo went in one and conditioner went in the other, and it would you would squeeze it out of the nipple.
No, I do not remember.
And this was a novelty item?
Yeah.
You had it in college?
Boobs.
We never had it in college, but I remember seeing...
Beverly Hills, we all enjoy our shampoos.
Oh, I want this, man.
Do a search, Nick.
You guys can find shamboobs.
Was that the... the product name, or did you guys nickname it that?
That? You know what? I don't know. I don't know if we named it Shamboobs or if it was called Shamboobs.
I remember ShamWow.
Okay, here it is. A novelty item.
Yeah.
And it says censored.
Yeah, it is called Shamboobs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Censored.
Yeah. I know.
Come on. Censored the box.
The nipples. The cartoon-like nipples on the box.
Come on, guys.
That's ridiculous.
It's free the nipple. Naughty but useful.
By the way, we went into Spencer's the other day.
What is the status of Spencer's?
We're at the mall, and my daughter and her friends were there, and we were just doing a little last-minute shopping. We popped into Spencer's. I've forgotten how much dirty stuff there is in Spencer's.
Yeah.
And I mean lots of it.
Yeah.
I mean, filthy.
It's funny that it's in a
wide open.
Wide open in a mall.
Yep.
I mean, it used to be, you know, so the thing to do when you were in, like, junior high or whatever would be to go to the back poster section.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Remember Samantha they? Yeah, you'd have all these.
Yeah, Blacklight.
Yeah, Blacklight, Samantha Fox, and Lonnie Anderson, and Bob James Marley. Mason.
Not James.
Yeah. So I would assume you could find things like that at Spencer's.
Shamboobs. Or super large greeting cards with incredibly heavy women on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Agreed. All right. Let me see what else I got here. We have time.
Yeah.
All right. I have another thing from the Connoisseur Files. Restaurant reviews. It turns out apparently how you post your review matters.
You're meaning as the user, the consumer, or
the consumer.
Okay.
So the three U.S.-based universities looked at over 275,000 restaurant reviews. They determined that reviews written from mobile devices got 10 to 40% fewer likes than reviews written by laptop or desktop computers. They found that reviews written via mobile device initially had equal or higher value to readers, but that value dropped significantly lower over time compared to reviews written the other way. And researchers say that one reason could be that the real-time nature of mobile device reviews doesn't allow reviewers enough time to reflect and when they're writing their review.
Over the last few weeks, I've had to have some work done at the house, and everybody that's come out to the house has asked politely and nicely to for me to give them a positive review online somewhere, either on Yelp or Google reviews or something like that. And I haven't experienced that request before. It's been really
everyone has been asking.
Yeah,
that,
and I've had some phenomenal service. In fact, Horizon, which we endorse on the show, they came out. They were awesome. But there was one plumbing service, and they were really nice about it. But they said, "Hey, it helps us. It goes a long way."
Is it because of all these?
I'm not sure.
Commercials, and there's this new service that is a task or it's the one that Kathy Lee Gifford promotes.
Okay,
but it's basically what the food delivery services are to your home. This is the same thing. And there was the one that sort of was a pay service. Now it's public.
Okay.
But these apps that allow you to get in touch with handymen and women and people who provide services. And I guess now because of the extra competition, maybe they're looking for better ratings.
Maybe that's what it is.
I don't get asked to give online reviews, but I do get asked regularly to fill out the survey.
Okay.
Almost anywhere, to any kind of service thing, you know, hey, here's, and by the way, there's a survey. If you could please answer that, we'd appreciate that.
I'll do that.
I never do.
Well, if it's like, you know, you get work done on the car or whatever, and it's quick. If they make it 50 pages, but if it results in the worker who's helped you and done a good job getting something, I'll do that.
Whenever I take my car in for service, I get those. And if it's good service, I want to answer it because it clearly helps them because they ask you to fill it out. They'll send it to you. They'll call you. At least my place will call you if you don't fill it out. But I think it's 20 pages. I'm not going
ridiculous.
Through 20 pages.
Come on.
You're writing
a novel.
The only time I do reviews or answer surveys like that is if I get outstanding service where I'm like,
right.
The manager needs to know about this.
Either that or terrible, terrible service.
And I've done that recently. I did it in Hawaii Reef Pirates and the luau that we went to as well. And then I did one for this glass company that replaced our windshield on my car. These guys were so good at what they did and so thorough and helpful. I'm like, somebody needs to know about this.
Yeah, that's good.
And then one time I was at a restaurant, this guy was a server at P.F. Chang's, just went above and beyond.
He replaced your windshield.
When he went outside and replaced the windshield, didn't even ask him. I'm like, how did that happen? I noticed
there was a ding when you pulled, and I thought I'd take care of it.
While we were getting your egg rolls, I went out and fixed your windshield.
Oh, my God, you're awesome.
But I contacted corporate, and I'm like, not only that, I said, you need to have this guy train other people because he is that good. And he doesn't work there anymore.
I saw him in another restaurant like months later.
I'm like, dude,
go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think I've said this before and I have not done it and I really want to, but there is one woman that works at my Target who is, I mean, every time you walk in, she has a big sunshine over her. She says hi to the kids. She says hi to the people. She greets people. If she's at the register, she asks you how your day is. She chats with you.
Which Target is this?
It's the Plymouth Meeting one.
Okay.
I just know her first name because it's on her tag. But
what's your name?
Her name is Deb. It's either Deb or Debbie. But I want to email Target corporate and say, whoever this woman is, don't ever fire her.
Okay.
All right.
Listen, that certainly helps.
Texts and calls are coming in. Let me go to Brian here. Hey, Brian, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good. What's up, Brian?
Hey, I'm actually a service advisor at a car dealership. Been at a couple, but they actually pay us significantly based off your surveys there. So anytime you're in service, that is a direct grade on our, on our payment, on our bonuses from the manufacturer, everything.
I've heard that.
I actually have been literally asked to, hey, can you fill out the survey and give us nothing but fives? If you're not going to give us any fives, don't fill out the interview or the survey.
They told you to just give all fives?
Wait a minute. What did you just say, Brian?
Anything but a perfect score is a zero to any manufacturer.
That's what they say to me when I go. Yeah, they will tell me that.
Yeah, they slam up and a lot of pay plans are affected by that.
So well, what's the purpose of the survey then?
Yeah.
When I've been asked to do the survey, I it's always been by people who have given me service that's worthy of excellent rating all the way around.
Yeah.
But if you're asking for a survey with different grades, like very good, good.
Yeah. Brian, that sounds like it's either going to be, if it's not perfect, if it's perfect, hey, good on you, congratulations. If it's just a smidge under, how dare you? You know what I mean?
Get out!
That's how it feels sitting in our seat, too.
Sure, yeah. It would. Yeah. What if you're not feeling well that day and you're just a little off your game, or you have someone who's kind of a dick who you're helping?
Yeah.
You know, it can also reflect upon the customer.
Yeah.
Yeah, they preach to us about how great we have to be for the customer all the time,
from
the manufacturer, but leave all the tools in our lap and say good luck when it comes to those angry customers.
I think there should be a little bit more, like thanks, a certain buddy. Percentage gets you it instead of straight up fives all across the board every time.
Right. Yeah. So there's certain ways of beating the system. And if you ever go through a fast food drive through, I'm not saying this is 100% of the time, but when they ask you to pull ahead because, you know, they get your money.
Backwards.
No. If they ask you to pull ahead and wait for your order, it's two things. Obviously, your order's not ready, but also you're on a timer, right?
Yeah.
So if you pull ahead and pull past that window to the computer, it acts as if you have been served, and so it reflects better upon the drive-through service if you then pull ahead and you still have to wait for your meal.
Hmm.
Yeah, because in fact, there was
who told you this?
So when I was at a fast food restaurant not that long ago, and they gave me my food. And I didn't pull away from the window. What I was doing was, taking the paper off of my... There was nobody behind me.
Right.
Right? So, took the paper off the straw, just kind of getting some things ready. I was getting ready to eat on the road. And the woman said, can you please pull up? Because, the longer you stay here, we're on a timer. And it's, and it's going to, exactly what
so
I was just
telling
you.
So, it's akin to like a plane, pulling away from... the airport and getting out on the runway, even if they don't take off, it maintains the on-time departure.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Let me go to, we got to take a break here in just a second. I'm going to go to Jim talking about leaving reviews. Hey, Jim, good morning.
Hey, Presto, how you doing?
Good. What's up, buddy?
I just wanted to say, give you a little cautionary tale on filling out negative reviews. I had a down here in Wilmington, we'll just say a British car dealer. It was a brand new car. It was under warranty, and you know it had issues where it would just go down the road and die. I had an incident dealer probably three times, and every time after they said it was fixed, same thing would happen. And every time I would get that customer survey back, I wrote the service was no good because they couldn't fix the problem. Then lo and behold, a couple months later, the car was out of warranty, and I had an issue come up where I felt the dealer needed to deal with it. Called them up to make an appointment, and they said, we're not going to work on your car because we obviously can't make you happy.
Wow. I think corporate would love to hear that. Yeah.
I did. They didn't care. I wrote them a long letter. They're like, oh, well, sorry for your experience, but that was it.
Wow. Those okay. Brits.
Thanks, Jim. Yeah,
no problem.
Yeah, it is interesting. I don't know. I wasn't aware that that at all that those reviews will give them direct monetary compensation or the surveys. I'm
right,
sorry.
They do. Huh. Initially, though, about the restaurant thing, just quickly, do you before you go to a restaurant, do you read reviews?
On rare occasions.
Yeah. I'm recommended by other people.
That's mainly where I go. But if I'm from out of town or something and I just want to get an idea of what might not be a waste of time.
Where would James Mason eat?
I don't need something outstanding, but I'd rather go somewhere that I know is, I'm going to go, God, I can't believe we came here. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Chances are, if you're around here, you've heard something, you know, word of mouth, and word of mouth is a very, very strong form of advertising, but I'm with you. If I'm out of town, I'll look at the reviews.
Yeah, if the sign says girls, 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 you're in.
I'm in.
Done deal. All right, anyhow, that's all I have time for with the connoisseur, so thank you. Hopefully you got something.
Thanks to the connoisseur.
Let us take a break and come back. We're scheduled to have Harry Hamlin. Is he on his way?
Yeah, he's running about 10 minutes late.
Okay.
No problem.
We will take a break and come back, and as we do that, let's give away some passes to this very cool thing. It's actually an appearance that's going to be taking place Thursday, November 14th. It is Happy Place at the King of Prussia Mall. And it's Preston and Steve night. I have a 4-pack of tickets for the pop-up phenomenon. We'll take callers number 10 and 11 at 215-263-WMMR. And we will give you a 4-pack of tickets to go to this immersive exhibit. And it features more than 15,000 square feet of playful spaces and cheerful moments. It's called the most Instagrammable pop-up in America. And tickets are on sale now at happyplace.me, and the exhibit is here through January 5th. So, like I said, we'll take callers 10, 11, 215-263-WMMR. It's in the space where JCPenney was inside the King of Prussia Mall. Call now. We'll break. Come back in a second. Stay with us. Happy to welcome our next guest to the studio. He's going to be performing at the Delaware Theater Company, which is actually starting tomorrow, the show, and it goes through November 10th. You'll be able to get your tickets through DelawareTheater.org, and he's performing One November Yankee along with Stephanie Powers.
Yes.
Please welcome Mr. Harry Hamlin to the program.
Good morning. I love the applause.
Never gets old, does it?
Never, never, never. That's why I like live theater.
I'll bet, man. That's got to be, you know, we've had the pleasure of being on stage to, we're not performers, but introducing and things like that and hosting events and so on. And then we've done a little bit of, bizarrely, a little on-camera work before in studios and so forth. And there's no comparison of that immediate feedback. Here's what we think of what you're doing right now.
Yeah, let's hope they like it.
Let's that they do like it.
Well, this One November Yankee, and when I first saw the title, it's the phonetic alphabet, is it not? It's a crashed plane.
It's the call letters on a crashed plane.
Right.
One New York, One November Yankee. And the play is really about, it's not really about a crashed plane, though there is a crashed plane in the play, and the plane crashes do come up in the plot.
It's actually the set is actually a mock-up of a Piper Cub, right?
It's an actual two-size Piper Cub, crashed Piper Cub on the stage. And that it serves as a set piece for not only a crashed plane, but also an art installation. So the play is really about kind of where we are post 9/11 in America, how we are going politically, but also how we're going in how the art world is mixing in with the culture and what's happened since 9/11 to our culture. And it's really kind of about a kind of crashing and burning of what once was a great society.
So it's you and your sister, I assume, right? Is that the
brother and sister? We play three sets of brothers and sisters.
Right.
And we have different adventures in the three different elements of the play.
And so this is the writer is Joshua Ravitch. Right. And so it has a I love things with a sort of a high concept or unique concept like this. So we're taken through this, and it's a character study. And it's and the theater itself, I guess, sort of morphs from what I understood. You were in the original production, or you've been in this production before?
We did a production. I did a production with Loretta Swit in 2012, which was sort of more of a workshop production. It was at what Equity Waiver Theater in L.A. It was a 99-seat theater. You're allowed to do equity plays without having to actually be paid.
Lucky you.
You get to do it. But we worked the kinks through the play. It's a brand-new play, so... We worked the kinks out then, and it's evolved since then. And now Stephanie is coming in to do it with me, and it's very different with Stephanie. She has a whole different kind of approach
take on
to
it.
The play. Yeah,
yeah.
But it's a fascinating play to me. My agents didn't want me to do it. Agents, they don't want you to do plays. Josh had been trying to get the play to me for a few months back in the day. This is 8 or 9 years ago. And my agent finally sent it to me on a Friday night with no explanation of what it was. He was so sick of Josh bugging him to get the play to me that he sent it to me. And I read it because I obviously was not doing anything on that particular Friday night. Such an exciting life. I read this play and it was so amazing, but there was no explanation of who, what, when, or where. It was just the play. And his name was on the front, Josh Ravitch. So I went on LinkedIn and I typed his name in, and it came up. That's the way I found him. My agents never would have put me together with him.
Right.
I found him on LinkedIn.
So there's talk, and I was reading, I don't know if this is true, but this is being considered for a potential a movie production of this. And is that something you've heard, or is that just internet hearsay?
That's internet hearsay.
Okay, all
but,
right.
We are going to New York with it after this run here in Delaware. We're going to be going to 59 East 59th Street, which is a great off-Broadway house.
Right.
And the intention is, you know, to see if it has a life beyond that, of course.
So you talk about the general overall gist of the play, but it is these two people who are left in this situation, we assume, that they're, you know, they're now in a situation where they're stranded, and
well,
they're,
that's one of the elements of the play. There are several acts, but one of the elements of the play is an actual plane crash where they have to figure out how to deal with the being out in the forest and having crashed in a plane. But really, it's also an art installation. It's also a take on the modern art scene.
And does the theater itself, is there morphing that takes place within the theater? I heard that there were in the original production that trees appeared and things like that.
Well, the trees make an appearance.
Okay. When trees make an appearance, that impresses me.
There's some smoke.
Okay,
and,
all right.
There's some fire extinguishers, and there's like sound effects and stuff.
You know? I like that.
So you said Stephanie coming in after, it was at Loretta Swit, said initially. When you get somebody that comes in and adds a different complexion, because of their speech pattern, their delivery, whatever it may be, how does that change what you're doing? Because you've been playing it one way for
I did it years ago. I've forgotten all the words. Come on, it's 8 or 9 years ago.
So, okay.
She brings a different kind of light to it than Loretta had, and it's not better or worse. It's just different. And and she's great. She's lovely in the production, and she brings a great light to it.
Sometimes shows like this, you know, and you've. A lot of times it takes people going to the theater to, if they've never been, to realize how wonderful it is, and also to, if they've been before, to be reminded how interesting it is to see something like that, to see there is a certain energy that cannot be translated through film or through television that exists only in a theater where your mind helps you suspend the reality and you're focused, the ability to focus in on the exchange between the actors and the performances, to see the things, to see it's something we tend to forget. Of course, we're so bombarded with media that is as organic as it gets.
That's true. And this show is very kinetic. So you're only two people. So we've got to be moving all the time. We've got to be screaming at each other all the time. We've got to be trying to get out of scrapes all the time. So it's a fun romp. It's about 90 minutes of fun, I'd say, and it's really funny too. Josh is hysterical.
You're very funny, by the way, and I want to tell you this. I was telling these guys earlier, and just to immediately jump to this, because I know that obviously there's Clash of the Titans and other things in your history that we want to talk about as well, but I happen to be a fan of a movie I think you're extraordinarily funny in, a movie called Movie Movie that Stanley Donen directed. And I was showing Preston some of the clips of it, and George C. Scott's in it, and Art Carney, and a whole bunch of people, and it's an homage to classic movie styles. And you're in a sequence where you play a Joey Popchick, who's a boxer. And that was that your first big movie?
That was my first movie at all, the first time ever on camera.
And yeah. Stanley Donen had seen you in a stage production.
No. I wasn't going to do movies. I was just going to be a theater actor forever. I was never going to do them. And a casting director at Warner Bros. Had seen me do a play, had this play, Equus.
I
played the boy naked in that. And so she asked me to come in just to see if I would ever want to do movies or television or anything like that. And I resisted. I said, no, I'm not going to come. But finally, a friend of mine was going to Warner Brothers and said, come along. And I ended up meeting her. And she said that this guy, Stanley Donen, who I didn't know, I was not really a film buff at the time, that he was coming into town and he had a couple of girls that he was screen testing. And what they kind of needed a trained actor to read lines to them off screen. It was Tova Feldshuh and Anne Reinking were coming into town. And so I had a Fulbright scholarship to study in London, to go to London and do more classical training, I guess. And I said, I'm not going to do this movie. I'm going to London. I'm a theater actor. I'm not a film actor. And
right.
So they said they'd give me $250 or a 35mm camera, which is the one thing I needed on my trip to London. If I would come in and read with these two girls, just throw them lines off camera. And I went in and I did that for 2 days. And after I did it, Stanley offered me the lead in the movie. And
that's pretty wild.
It was wild.
And then you turned it down.
I said, no. I said, I'm going to London. I'm going to go study in London. And
was George C. Scott attached to the project
course,
at this time?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was George C. Scott.
That's a ballsy move.
Well, I had no intention to do movies. I was just going to do theater. And
why not? It, because of the prestige attached to the theater, or because movies weren't for you, or what? Well,
I wanted to be a stage actor. I didn't want to do TV. I didn't want to do movies. I just wanted to work on the stage. I was classically trained, so I wanted to do the classics. And but my mother really wanted to meet George C. Scott.
And, Mom made the decision.
Mom, she said, why do you need a Fulbright scholarship on your resume? She said, you went to Yale, which I did. She said, you've got an MFA from American Conservatory Theater, which is the most prestigious theater in the West Coast.
And a psychology degree, right?
And I got a degree in psychology as well, but that's, you know.
Yeah.
That has helped deal with ex-wives.
So you did. You went to high school here in Pottstown.
I did. Yeah. I went to high school.
The Hill School.
I went to the Hill School. And this is my first time back in Philadelphia in 50 years.
Stop. Wow.
Really?
My 50th anniversary. You know, the 50th reunion is coming up in May, so I'll be coming back then.
It's now co-ed, by the way. When you were there, it was not. And now women can attend as well.
They can. I was a big part of that, in fact.
Well, now you can go tell them you met George C. Scott.
what was your sister school back then? Did you have a sister school?
Shipley, I think.
Was it?
There was a girl that I had a girlfriend at Shipley on the main line, and she would sneak onto this campus. Very ballsy move on her part. She never got caught. She would sneak into my room. And
you would study.
Her brother actually became quite a famous actor, Jack Coleman. I haven't seen her in a long time.
So
I haven't seen her in 50 years.
This reticence to do movies, you do movie, which I if you've no one's seen it, it's available on Amazon Prime, and it's hilarious. And then obviously you have a storied career with television and film. I assume Clash of the Titans comes along, and here again you have a chance. You're working in a film with Laurence Olivier, which is the actor's actor and a master of classics. So was that a little bit more of an easy sell for you with that ensemble?
Well, I did the movie because I wanted to meet him.
Yeah.
Because I'd read the script and it wasn't really my cup of tea. But,
right.
But he was in it. Oddly enough, I'd been offered another movie that year called Tristan and Isolde. It was filming at exactly the same time that Kate Mulgrew was playing Isolde, and I was asked to play Tristan, and that was Richard Burton was in that movie. And so I had to, do I want to meet Richard Burton or do I want to meet Laurence Olivier? And, so I chose Olivier.
Olivier considered the actor's actor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And always my hero.
Yeah.
And and wrote me a great letter at the end of the filming because it was his 70th birthday, and I gave him a copy of Paco Bell's Canon in D Major, which is just kind of coming back into the zeitgeist then. And he'd never heard it before, and he wrote me this beautiful letter apologizing for being in the movie. Seriously.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. This, wow. This is the movie that because he knew that I revered him, and he knew that I knew he was a great actor, and he'd done all these great movies, and this was this, you know, Clash of the Titans.
He plays Zeus, by the way.
He plays Zeus in the movie, but, you know, it wasn't... I wouldn't say that it was a great film on any level, but it certainly has had legs.
Yeah.
It was fun.
It was fun, you know, but he apologized. He said, I still have this letter. I framed it. You know, he
says, that's fantastic.
He said something like, you're such a great friend. And I love this music. And I'm sorry that we had to meet under these circumstances. He said, I have so many mouths to feed. You see, I had to do this film.
Wow. That's
I guess it's
hilarious.
Like Alec Guinness in Star Wars, you know.
He was not a fan of Star Wars, but I mean, so, and these things go on to have this incredible pop culture afterlife, and so you're a part of that. Obviously L.A. Law, which was a highlight.
Well, but before we get to that, because if we're
Perseus,
No. But I want to sort of go in chronological order because you were in a movie that I watched. I can't even tell you how many times, but Blue Skies Again. I loved that movie growing up. It was on HBO or Cinemax, and I watched it. I can't tell you how many times I watched it.
I don't know this film.
You're kidding. You're the only person I know in my life who saw that movie.
So, all right, so Preston.
No one has ever come up to me and said, I loved you in Blue Skies Again.
So you're looking at a movie poster here, Preston. There's a woman here. Her character's name is Paula, and she was a really good baseball player and wanted to make it in Major League Baseball as a pitcher. And, Tom Cruise's ex-wife.
Mimi Rogers
was in it. Mm-hmm. Actually, a young Andy Garcia was in it.
It was Andy's first movie. Yeah.
Was it? Yeah. I love that movie. And I don't, it's just, to me, it's like...
That's crazy that I've never seen the movie. I'm seeing it on screen right now because it's behind you. I've never seen this movie. I play poker with Mimi Rogers a lot. She's in our poker group. We talk about it from time to time. We'll say, well, remember that movie we did, that crazy, that Andy Garcia was in that movie, blah, blah, blah. But no, you're the first person who has ever come up to me or ever mentioned that I did that movie.
So I'm pretty good with movies. I've never heard of this movie.
I don't know if it ever had a theatrical release or if it was like, you know, the Netflix version of, you know, like what I saw on HBO or Cinemax. But it was on quite a bit. You never saw it. You only acted in it.
And my father passed away during the filming. And I remember when I went immediately, we had a thing for him, a memorial for him or something. But the movie never saw it.
So. Do you demur from seeing yourself in films and projects and stuff like that? Do you like seeing yourself on screen or are you overly critical? What's your take on that?
I'm just bored.
You're just bored?
I don't watch it. I've been there. I've done it.
Yeah.
So it's not something that it's a waste of time.
Did you have the difficulty? And I've heard people talk about this about the difference between the intimacy of a film camera or a television camera and the stage. The stage is such a more, you know, the performances are different. Obviously, dramatically different. No pun intended. So was that an adjustment because you're trained in classics and you're doing all this and then you're asked to be, you know, the cameras.
I was lucky with the movie that you were talking about, Movie, with George C. Scott. That movie was broad. The character was... So my first film, I was able to be somewhat broad, and that was... I was Joey Popchick, the millionaire delivery boy.
And so I
got lucky because it was a much broader take because it was an homage to old movies and stuff. So
when you're in a movie or a TV show, you have multiple takes or, you know, you have a little bit more time to tap into an emotion. If maybe you're having a hard time, you know, tapping into said emotion at a specific time, it's like, all right, well, let's just take a break. Let me see if I can find my center, whatever it is. But on the stage, how do you find that? And how are you able to tap in
and maintain it
at any given time?
That's a good question. And I don't know the exact process. I'm not sure how that works, but, if the play is written well, the moments they move up, they align and you find the emotion.
But you mentioned Equus, and I always thought Equus had to be one of the most difficult roles, especially that role, the tortured kid who's you know, there's a horrible story, and Richard Burton played the analyst in the movie, was nominated for that. But it's you're nude a lot in the movie, right? I mean, in the play, yeah.
I wrote a book about 10 years ago called Full Frontal Nudity, in fact, which kind of explains, it's an expose in a way, and you can't get more exposed than being totally frontally nude in front of 1,600 people every night.
How do you
for 2 years
work up to that?
It's work up? Okay.
Or work, okay. Whatever. Yeah. Because
I kept wanting them to put the heat on in the theater.
To enrich your performance.
Yeah, exactly. That was my first big professional job, and I came right out of acting school, and I was the right age, and when the director asked me to take my clothes off in the audition, I refused the first time.
Yeah.
I said, no, I'm not going to do that. So he cast somebody else. That person didn't really work out, and I ended up going into the play. Well, actually, that person, they went on tour to Russia, and that person had to demur, get out of the part, so I went in after he went in. But at first I refused. I said, I'm not going to take my clothes off. I'll take them off for the show, but I'm not going to take them off in this room with you.
Right.
Harry, you had a run on Shameless for a stretch, and you played a gay lover of one of the main characters. Were you nude in Shameless as well? I forget.
I was.
Yeah, I thought so.
There's a lot of nudity in that.
There is, but that's how it's hard to remember, because most of the characters at one point or another, including William H. Macy, end up naked.
Yeah, I was 60-something and naked in that. And I remember they gave me about 3 weeks' notice. They said, you know, you're not going to be wearing any clothes in this
Start doing push-ups?
Exactly. You kidding me? The Atkins diet and push-ups and the gym, you name it. You know.
But you've always been in shape, so I guess at that time, like when Equus is coming up, you were, you know, it's such a tortured story. But I assume the level of focus to not be I'm naked, you know, to just to be doing that must be.
We never took our clothes off.
Okay.
And the director said, I want you to take your clothes off on opening night for the first time, so that it's like electric.
Right.
I was off stage before going on for that scene, which is the final scene, and I was singing "Climb Every Mountain." I was seriously, and then I got out on stage, and in the way that it was designed, there were people in bleachers right in front of us, like students who could get half price tickets, and there were bleachers right on the stage, so that 4 or 5 feet away from us, there was a row of people. And then there were 1,600 people out in the audience, because it's a huge theater at the American Conservatory Theater, the Geary Theater. And I was standing on stage, and I was peeling my pants down. And when my pants got to my knees, I saw every eyeball in the house drift down. All the kids, everybody, right? And, you know, I'm in the part. I'm in the play. But I'm also noticing that all the eyeballs are only going to one spot.
Of course. How could you not?
But anyway, so climb every mountain. Right?
Well, I mentioned L.A. Law, which, and I was thinking about that. And at the time, when you talk about shows of that level, we're talking about, you know, when they used to have the NBC was must-see TV and all that stuff. And now with streaming services and so on and so forth, L.A. Law was a cornerstone of pop culture. People always talked every week to week. It was such a popular show. It was Stephen Bochco, I believe, correct? Right. And just incredible writing, incredible performances, great ensemble. Did you notice a sort of a quantum leap up? You have to be, with that many millions of people watching you, does your life take a massive shift with your being recognized and so on and so forth? Any memories from that period when the show really took off?
You get recognized a lot more because there were 20 million people a week watching the show.
Yeah.
And so, it was pretty crazy. I much prefer the anonymity that I have now. I can, you know, it's much cheaper. I went to the mall yesterday. It's great.
Just walk around. Just going to the
mall. Yeah. L.A. Law was an amazing show. It was I didn't want to do television, really. I didn't watch TV at the time. I maybe saw 4 episodes of L.A. Law during the entire time I was on it.
Really?
So, yeah.
Did you enjoy the experience overall, though?
Yeah. No, it was great. The people were lovely. The cast members. It was a fantastic. You're right. The ensemble was great. But the reason I ended up doing L.A. Law is because I made a movie called Making Love in 1981. I think it was 81 or 82, which was the first studio picture, big studio picture that involving a gay love story. And no one in town would do it, but
I remember that movie, and it was a solid movie. Who was your co-star in that?
Michael Ondaatje,
right?
And Kate Jackson was in it too. So, and it was just 10 years before its time, and so I played a gay character in it, and
it was a really thoughtful movie. It was really
it predated AIDS, and HIV. And it was something that was really happening in the world, but no one was really talking about it. So it was a real movie. It was a story about a real cultural movement that was going on. But in order to do it, I had to play a gay character. In playing a gay character at that time, it was just way ahead of its time. The business wasn't ready to accept a gay character. And so that was the last picture I ever did, the last studio movie I ever did.
As I recollect, Michael Ondaatje is you. He has Kate Jackson as his girlfriend, his wife. And he is gets involved in a relationship with you.
He comes out of the closet with me.
It sort of Brokeback Mountain before Brokeback Mountain.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it meant the end of my film career.
Really?
Yeah. That was it.
Huh.
So is that because people thought that they wouldn't be able to see you as a straight man anymore?
I imagine so. I'm not sure. It's just the door closed after that movie.
Yeah, it's crazy. Huh. When you think about it in those terms. But I do remember there was a big controversy about that movie.
Yeah.
So I guess it could. That's why for so long you had actors who would, the classic story of Rock Hudson, having sort of a faux Hollywood wife. Yeah, to cover that.
Well, you're in town for the next few weeks. Is your wife Lisa going to be popping in to visit at all?
She is, of course.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. We were talking off air about QVC and doing some things there. She has what does she do as far as her? You said she has a line that.
Well,
she
designs. She has a line of clothing, the Lisa Rinna Collection, and so she does this other show. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's called The Housewives.
I've heard of it.
All right. How is that for you? Because she's she always see her popping up little clips on the internet.
She's constantly dancing. I follow her on social media. Yeah. I love her dance videos.
Yeah, I don't follow her on social media, but I've heard about. I hear about her every once in a while. She'll show me some of this stuff that she does.
She's in phenomenal shape.
Does she work out constantly? She's in amazing shape.
She is in amazing shape. No, I'm a very lucky guy when it comes to that.
yeah.
But a few years ago, she did the Howard Stern show.
Yeah.
And she said, Harry, don't listen to the Howard Stern. Whatever you do, don't ever listen to me. And I took that as a hint, like, don't follow me on social media.
That was the point at which you realized what you don't know is better. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Sure. Because I have my own idea of who she is, and it works for me, And
have you ever watched one episode of the Real?
Oh, I've seen them all. No, I sit with her, because, this is where my psychology degree comes in, because I can kind of help get her through, because psychologically it's a very tough show to do for her and all the people on the show.
Right.
It's a psychological minefield, and so
how much is? I mean, we were familiar with reality and quote unquote reality and sculpted reality. How manipulated is it?
It's not.
It really.
They might say, "Hey, it's getting a little boring now. Can you turn up the heat or something?" And someone might do something that's a little outrageous. But,
okay.
But there's no script to it at all. It's an unscripted reality show for sure.
It's a modern soap opera. It takes, like you were talking about, psychology of backstabbing and talking behind people's backs and one-upping and being manipulative, and turns that into television.
How can you talk behind somebody's back when the camera's on you?
I think you have a degree in this. Do you forget? Is this a healthy dynamic, or do you feel it has? You still called it a minefield, so I guess you don't,
I wouldn't say it's healthy, but it's good branding. I mean, for our clothing line, it works well. For Lisa, she has lots of opportunities that have sprung up in and around this thing. And when she first came to me, and she said, they're talking to me about doing The Housewives, I picked up my phone and I went to... I've been married a couple of times, so I have a couple of my divorce lawyers actually on speed dial. I said, really, I don't think this is a good idea, and I'm going to have to call my guy. And then she said, well, maybe you should talk to this girl, Bethany Frankel, who is a friend of Lisa's, and ask her about her experience with a line called Skinny Girl.
Mm-hmm. Made her a multimillionaire.
So I talked to her about that, and the next day I said, "Well, I think I won't call my guy."
Right?
But no, she. It is a very strange thing that she does that show. But on the other hand, you know, she does it really well.
Yeah.
I mean, and she has come out looking great on the show, and so.
There you go. Yeah. Well, you approach it from a promotional aspect, and you know, you're right. You can't beat that on a marketing level. It's crazy.
Well, if she comes in town and you guys have a free morning, you're tired of going to the mall and hanging out, come by here. We'd love to have her by. We want to meet her.
I want to dance with her. We'll dance. We'll have a table to flip over. We'll have champagne. Whatever you need.
Whatever she wants. Yeah.
Right. Well, listen, I do want to remind people that the reason Harry Hamlin is here is because he's promoting a show. It's at the Delaware Theater Company. The run dates start tomorrow. It goes through November 10th, and it is called One November Yankee, and co-stars Stephanie Powers as well. Tickets are available at DelawareTheater.org. And I hope you, when is your reunion? Is it going to be while you're here for the Hill School, or is it later?
No, that's in May or June.
Okay. All right.
Well, you're welcome back when that happens.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So great. Thank you guys so much. This is so great.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Pleasure to meet you. Thanks for being here. Harry Hamlin, guys.
Yeah! Yep.
And with that, we are going to take a break and return in mere moments. We got some B-File stories on the way, as well as some other stuff, so stay close. We'll return shortly.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Dirty Honey.
You know the time has come, so don't let me win.
Shinedown.
My monsters are real, and that train had a key.
Ghost.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Got a text here. It says, Gadzooks, guys, could you send a shout out to the employees at the Dunkin' Donuts in Haddon Heights, New Jersey? Went in to get coffees, heard the show on, and saw. I guess technically that would be a zap, though, right?
We'll give them a shout.
We can do a shout.
Not two zaps. That's Pierre's thing, and we never take an iconic person such as Pierre.
Go ahead. Because Chuck is signaling wildly. That's his Dunkin' Donuts. That's where he goes all the time.
He owns a Dunkin' Donuts?
So I guess instead of zaps, we would do splats, maybe, or something like that.
Squirts.
Squirts. Send a squirt out.
Sure, Dunkin' would prefer a short.
What are you saying, Chuck?
I love that Dunkin' Donuts.
He loves that Dunkin' Donuts. Do you guys know in Haddon Heights, New Jersey, that Chuck D'Amico of WMMR regularly visits?
That's Chuck D'Amico.
Your location.
I don't want to bother him.
Keep an eye out for that man. All right, we have the Bizarre File, and then we're going to talk to some guests in the studio.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Delilah's. And Delilah's presents A Night at the Movies 2, their 28th anniversary party on Wednesday, October 23rd. That's tomorrow. With guest DJ PS1, you can visit Delilahs.com for details. I don't know if you guys saw this on the news or not, but a Georgia driver made it out alive after he rear-ended a log truck, and his car was impaled by logs from the front windshield to the back window.
How did this guy live?
And I mean, it filled the car with logs. You can't believe this guy lived.
Unless he's 2.5 feet tall.
Well, fortunately, he only suffered minor injuries, and the reason being is he was apparently leaning down to get something that he dropped when he ran into the log truck, and because his head was down like that, the logs went over his head. Firefighters had to cut through 30 to 40 logs with chainsaws before they could even cut open the car and rescue the man. But after that, it took only about 10 to 15 minutes to get the driver from the car.
It's miraculous. If you guys check out the picture, it blows your mind that anybody could walk away from that.
Because the driver was not in the upright position in his seat, his head ended up in a gap between the logs.
So the safest thing to do when you drive is hunch over, right?
All the time.
Yeah.
It's unclear what or if any charges the driver faces, by the way. A mother was horrified last week after waking up and finding a strange woman trying to give her 2-year-old son a bath. She said, this is Erica Hill said, I've never heard of anything like this before. Hill said she woke up to the sound of her dog barking and went to see what was happening. She said, I get up and I walk to my door, and the way my house is set up, I can look down the hall.
That's freaky.
And I see a white female lady bent over the tub with my two-year-old in the tub.
Oh, holy hell.
Hill and the home intruder, identified as Elizabeth Hickson, 22 years old, briefly scuffed, and Hill's boyfriend held Hickson in place until police arrived. Hickson was arrested and charged with burglary and is posted bond.
I'm going to clean your child for
right?
you.
Yeah. Her mother said that Hickson had good intentions and meant no harm.
You're a lunatic.
Hill intends to keep an eye on the case. She said, I'd like to see other charges filed against her. Prosecutors will determine what charges are appropriate.
Oh, I ate your parrot.
After receiving the police investigation. Wow. Let's see. Here's a follow-up story. Remember this, guys? A fourth person has died after contracting Legionnaires' disease at a North Carolina fair. The epicenter of the deadly Legionnaires' outbreak was...
They just walked past a carnival ride or something, right?
A hot tub.
Yeah,
a
hot tub.
It was the Mountain State Fair, held September 6th to the 15th at the Western North Carolina Agricultural Center in Fletcher. As of Friday, 141 cases of Legionnaires' disease have been confirmed by the health department, and public health officials have pointed to hot tub displays as the most likely source of the outbreak. The health department has not announced the results of any samples taken from the hot tubs during the fair. So another person died from that. That's pretty wild. This is disturbing. Minneapolis punk band called Off With Their Heads has been implicated in a horrific crash that left a woman with life-threatening injuries. The woman, 24-year-old Desiree Evancio, appears to have been hit by the band's van before being dragged several city blocks by the driver, who was unaware she was pinned underneath the vehicle.
Oh.
A bystander said, at first I thought she had been backed over, and I went to the back of the trailer and someone else was already there with a flashlight, and you could see blood, just one line of blood down the street. And at that point, I realized it was something completely different than someone getting backed over.
She had to be, like, shaved. I mean, the skin...
Road rush.
Well, forget it, yeah.
Police haven't yet named a suspect in the collision. The band have since canceled their remaining North American tour dates.
So if you have any Off With Their Heads tickets...
Yeah. Probably need to get rid of them.
Yeah, get rid of them.
Deputies with a Minnesota sheriff's office say they are searching for a habitual runaway emu who has eluded capture after disappearing again. The deputy said on Facebook Saturday that the emu disappeared in Foley with another emu and a dog.
The escape expert of the animal world.
Emu number one and his canine accomplice turned themselves in without incident, they wrote on Facebook. Emu two, however, had other plans and remains at large.
They could really come up with better names.
In announcing the law enforcement search for the missing emu, deputy said the bird was wanted for questioning for being a habitual runaway. The Facebook post...
Yeah, I mean, so I don't like to be caged in. It's my thing.
...advised, do not approach the subject as he may be violent, and then added, all jokes aside, the emu is missing from a local property in the Foley area. If spotted, please give us a call so we can return him safely to his owner.
They can get nasty, those emus.
A woman wrote back to say that she had seen the emu on Benton County Road 66 Sunday morning. She said, scared the crap out of me. Another person wrote that he hoped deputies find the emu and the owner gets back. I did see a follow-up story this morning. They managed to catch the emu.
Ah.
We'll see if they can keep him tied up this time.
Your kids are safe now.
Yes. And then one last story. I'm not going to do that one.
No? Another emu story?
I need a shorter story. Ah, yeah, here we go. Two men in California were arrested in connection with a cheese theft ring worth $50,000. Roderick Ransom was arrested and booked on charges of grand theft and embezzlement. Yario Alvarez was arrested and booked on charges of possession and stolen property. Both suspects are being held in the county jail. The investigation into the cheese theft ring.
A lot of holes in this story.
Hey! All right! Began August 22nd. Police police said the suspects have been stealing cheese from Loprino Foods since 2017.
Hey, why don't we steal money?
The stolen cheese was then sold online, door-to-door, and at flea markets across the state.
Remember you had a story about a guy who they stole an entire truck, tons and tons of cheese?
Yeah, yeah. Police identified other people involved in the sale of the stolen cheese and served search warrants.
Is this cheese stolen?
Where they recovered a large amount of the stolen cheese.
Oh. Some cheese is blue, yellow too, Swiss and cheddar in fondue. I like a chunky chunk of cheese.
Yeah! I love that song.
Any reason to play a cheese song.
Well, God, I miss Kurt Cobain.
What's that? What's that?
I don't think that was.
That wasn't Kurt Cobain?
I don't think so.
Oh. Are you sure?
No.
Some cheese is blue.
That's Kurt Cobain.
Swiss and cheddar in fondue. I like a chunky chunk of cheese.
Yeah, it's just after Nevermind.
Fontaine is fine when I dine. Good is good, provolone's divine. I like a chunky chunk of cheese.
You left out the third lyric where he says to rape me.
If you should run.
Oh, this is the bridge.
Hang on. A Rockford blue that's covered in mold. Free is boss cream cheese is soft. I spread it on a bagel or roll. Munster two Parmesan for you. Shredded slice or grated true. I like a chunky chunk.
He likes a chunky chunk.
We like a healthy chunk of cheese.
Please tell me what we were doing on November 21st, 2017.
That's when that's from?
That's when that's from.
That was the original. They used a Springsteen song, but that was the original title song for Philadelphia.
The Tom Hanks movie?
Yeah, yeah.
It was too upbeat, really.
They thought, wow, this is not indicative of the subject matter.
Again.
It seemed to be a very focused on cheese.
It's a movie about AIDS, for crying out loud.
They played it right on his deathbed.
Marissa's got an answer for us.
Okay, Marissa.
I actually have to thank intern Ben, who is a big podcaster before he started working with the show and still podcast. He said De Bruyne Brothers came in that morning.
Ah,
with the cheesemongers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You monger, you.
What is that from, though, Casey?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. It sounds like it's got you written all
it
over
does, it.
It so,
does, but I don't know.
It was, yeah.
Okay. Well, anyhow, we are done with the Bizarre File and our cheese song.
Yeah.
We want to welcome back an old friend of ours, a former intern, and I used to call her intern Rush.
Yes.
One of the few female Rush fans, but she's known better as her first name. Intern Donnie is here this morning.
Hello,
Donnie. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. It's nice to see you again.
It's nice to see you guys. It's good to be back. It's been a long time.
Yes, it has. Now, who did you bring with you this morning?
I brought Dana Donifree. She is the founder and CEO of Anna Ono Intimates.
Okay.
She makes lingerie and undergarments for women post-mastectomy after a breast cancer diagnosis.
Okay, so after you left here, you were diagnosed with breast cancer.
I was diagnosed with breast cancer in March 2018, 6 days after my 25th birthday.
It still blows my mind.
Blows my mind, too.
Yeah, yeah.
I have no history of cancer in my family. I was negative for all the genetic
markers
and all that, so it was a big what the heck.
Yeah.
And after maybe a month after that, I started chemotherapy, intensive chemotherapy. I went through 28 rounds of radiation, chemo and immunotherapy for a year. I got a double mastectomy with first stage of deep flap reconstruction. So that's non-implant reconstruction. They take fat and tissue from my own body and use it to create new breasts. So it's all natural.
Yeah.
And
it's a lengthier process,
right? It's a lengthier process. It's more scars. It's more healing. But for me, I didn't want to have foreign implants in my body. That was just my decision.
Sure.
But I became very involved in volunteering and advocacy work with Living Beyond Breast Cancer, which is the reason I'm here today.
Yes.
I became a young advocate with Living Beyond Breast Cancer for the Young Women's Initiative, just to let people know that it's
sorry,
not
we're hearing,
your...
We're hearing I'm sorry to interrupt. We're hearing a mystery voice.
Is it the connection through to...
Somewhere in the radio.
Yeah, I think it's the connection through to what Rodney was trying to hook up. I don't...
Well, it shouldn't be. Everything is off, and I apologize for the interruption, but we're hearing a voice in the background, and it's very distracting. We're here talking about
the
we
want something serious. You want to make sure it's set, so...
All right, so that's why people are walking around behind you. Looking
yeah.
All right, I'm sorry, Donnie. So continue about the advocacy.
Yeah, so I became very involved with Living Beyond Breast Cancer. Just to let people know, they have a young women's initiative, knowing that it's not your grandmother's disease. It's not your mother's disease. When I was diagnosed, everyone put me in touch with their mother, their grandmother, their aunt. And while that was really great, it was very helpful. They don't have the same concerns as a single young 25-year-old who, at that point, I was studying for my GMATs to go back to business school.
Yeah.
I was trying to start a life, to find someone to start a life with, you know, so.
It's a different context, a different frame of reference. And so what blows my mind is that our another former intern Jess, as well, is a breast cancer survivor and doing well. I know you have some complex issues that you're facing and doing well with, but the truth of the matter is all these things, like, for example, the clothes, the lingerie, the things that, you know, that or whatever that you want to get.
Yeah.
Again, as you said, it's not your grandmother's disease or someone in your age group. We don't traditionally think of this. So it left you with a whole bunch of questions and things that that you were interested in getting answers to. And you proactively did that.
Yeah.
And it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so part of the reason why we're having you in here, not just because you're a member of our family forever, but Dana, you are a survivor as well, and tell us about how this lingerie line you came up with.
Yes, so I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2010, day before my 28th birthday, and that was almost 10 years ago now, so I feel very fortunate that I get to stand here and help try to make and improve the lives of others, and thank you for training an amazing intern, Donnie, because we love having her on the team.
She came in pretty much ready to go. So, yeah.
And actually, we have a bra named after Jess, your old intern. She modeled for us a few years ago and has been a good friend of mine since, but you know, I think it's really important as young women specifically, you know, we want to feel good in our new bodies and our new skin, and we want beautiful, sexy bras just like we had before breast cancer. So that's why I created Ana Ono. I've been a fashion designer my whole life, and I knew that my body was now different. My life was different, and I wanted to celebrate, you know, my new life.
What it is now,
Is it different per person, the bras that you're selling? How does that work?
Well, so we like to call Ana Ono as boob inclusive. So we have bras for women with two boobs, one boob, no boob, or new boobs.
Yeah.
So, you know, the traditional bra is meant for a woman with two breasts that has underwire, molded cups, and once you get diagnosed with breast cancer and you lose parts of your tissue, you don't need that same sort of fit anymore, and you need a new bra. And so that was really where the design concept started to come up with my experience and background. But I had bilateral reconstruction with implants, a little bit different than Donnie, and I couldn't wear an underwire bra anymore, and so I just wanted something beautiful and sexy that felt good against my skin.
Okay. And how long have you been in business now?
So we are 5 years in business.
Wow.
Yeah, we're located here in Philadelphia. And actually, during the month of October, we're giving back 10% of our sales to Living Beyond Breast Cancer.
How unique is this? Are there other companies that do this as well, or are you one of just a handful?
I was technically the first lingerie line for women with breast reconstruction.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
So then you've got to have customers all over the world.
We do. We've shipped to South Africa, to Cambodia.
Nigeria
recently. Yeah. We know that breast cancer doesn't just happen here in the U.S. It happens to people all around the world, men, women, old, young, different colors, different societies.
So from your point of view and from your perspective, you've probably seen a number of people. It must mean a lot to have something tailored for this, for someone who's already gone through that, to then know they can have back things that make you feel, you know, like sexy or comfortable, or things that are, someone's taking your needs into consideration. What is the reaction from your client base? Any stories stand out from people that you've helped or sent garments to?
Well, at Ana Ono, we say you're never alone for that reason, because it's so complex. It's deeper than a bra, right? It's more than a bra. It's about your intimacy, your sexuality, your femininity, all of those things. But Donnie's our rock star customer service, so maybe you have a new story you want to share.
Yeah, I mean, so we get stories. I get stories from women all the time where they're trying on our bras, and a lot of our bras are lacy. They look very sexy. You don't have to have breast cancer to wear them, but I get these emails and these phone calls from these women who are literally crying over the phone, like crying tears of joy, because they're putting on these bras, these underwear, these panties, our loungewear, and they finally feel complete again. They feel whole again. They feel like women again, because when you have breast cancer, it takes so much away from you. You lose control over your body. Your body betrays you. So, and with Living Beyond Breast Cancer, it's so great because when you're diagnosed, they provide all this wealth of information from being young, being old, every symptom you can think of, finances, being gay or lesbian, bisexual with breast cancer. They are one of the most comprehensive resources there is. And for me to have a platform to tell my story and to be really raw and vulnerable is cathartic for me, but is also it helps other people. And
it's so wild. Again, like I say, I'm a prostate cancer survivor and doing well, and that's great. And there's so many people. I was aware of it before, after I had my experience out of people coming out of the woodwork, and then you can turn what you do and. You've jumped in so robustly to this, and I know we talked on the phone a couple times about what it means to you to be able to do this. It's a path you would not have maybe perhaps selected, were things, you know, unaffected by this. But how do you feel now to know that you're a conduit for all of this positivity?
Well, so after leaving WMMR, I started working for nonprofits, and I realized that whatever I wanted to do in my career, I wanted to do something that helped people in one way or another.
Right.
So this really gives me an avenue to talk to people one-on-one, to tell my experiences from the very nitty-gritty to sex and intimacy, to the different symptoms that you get. And I'm kind of an open book. And for other people to hear that, just the feedback that I've gotten is they didn't know that other people felt this way or that other people were experiencing this. So for them to hear it makes them feel like they're never alone, which is why I love working for Ana Ono, because it's that experience that you're never alone. And to hear that customer service feedback is just, it's so heartwarming. And it's just, I love that we are here to help other people.
A few people asking how you spell the name of the company. It's A-N-A-O-N-O. And you can go to anaono.com, A-N-A-O-N-O.com. We had a caller up on the line asking, his wife is a survivor. Do you have bras that have two completely different cup sizes? Is that how they work as well?
Exactly. Yeah. So great question. And thanks to that husband for calling in for his wife, because, you know, sometimes guys want to still buy their partners a beautiful gift, you know, for a portion of their life. But yeah, so our bras mold to you. We don't ask you to mold into them. So if you have a difference or asymmetry, or you're even flat on one side, the bras will lay flat against that mastectomy side or that scarred side and still give your natural breast some support, which is great.
Wow. I love this. This is wonderful.
Organization from people who know exactly what it's like and have created that.
And I have one joke for you guys, which I think you'll appreciate. Okay. So knowing about how to spell Ana Ono, so it's a version of my name, Dana Donafree, without the double D's. That's for you, Steve.
Put that on the card, yeah.
Were you a double D before?
I was not. That's the back half of the joke.
Got it. You were, yes. Well, listen, thank you guys, and continued great work. Wonderful, you know, philanthropic and charitable stuff.
It's wonderful. So
and thank you for your support. You know, Steve calls me from time to time, and I get emails from you guys. Thank you so much for your support throughout the years. I love you guys.
Well, we're proud of you.
We love you.
Doing great stuff.
Donnie and Dana this morning on the Steve Show. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in just a moment. Stay close because we've got a question. See if we can answer it. Get some free stuff. We'll be right back.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We're going to be giving away a prize. We have a lesson question, a pair of tickets from Fandango to go whatever movie you want to go to. And the question that we're going to go with this morning is, what act got Steve started in gay porn? 215-263-WMMR.
Those are good years.
Yep. What act was it that got Steve started in gay porn? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. Call now. We're going to do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you by Temple Football. Don't miss a huge primetime showdown when Temple Football battles UCF on Saturday, October 26th, 7 p.m. Lincoln Financial Field. Kids tickets on game night are only $10. Visit owlsticks.com. What's going on, Steve?
Well, Jersey Shore cast member Ronnie Ortiz Magro will not face kidnapping charges over a recent incident with ex-girlfriend Jen Harley. Magro says he is thrilled to have finally been vaccinated.
Oh my God. He meant vindicated.
Wendy Williams admitting on her show that she recently took her 19-year-old son, Kevin Hunter Jr., to his first strip club while on a trip to L.A. Kevin says he was stunned to learn that most strippers dress more conservatively than his own mother.
Yeah.
And finally, Miley Cyrus facing backlash for saying that being with crappy men forced her to be gay. Cyrus has since clarified, saying that being gay is not a choice unless you're trying to drop the image of Hannah Montana.
Oh.
Imagine Hollywood trash.
All right, we shall see if we can get an answer to this question. What act got Steve started in gay porn? I'm going to go to Jeff, see if he knows. Hey, Jeff, how you doing, man?
Good, sir. How are you?
Good. So what got Steve started?
That would be figging.
Figging. Yeah. That is correct, sir. Hang on, Jeff. Going to give you a pair of movie tickets from Fandango. You can get into the Halloween spirit with Fandango and see Stephen King's Dr. Sleep on October 30th, a week before it hits theaters exclusively through Fandango Early Access. Get your tickets to see Dr. Sleep first, only on Fandango. Let's do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Brought to you by the Pennsylvania Ear Institute of Salus University. And the Pennsylvania Ear Institute offers quality care for your hearing and balance needs. And their expert audiologist will help you hear your best. More information, visit salusuhealth.com/PEI. Coldplay has confirmed it will return in November with a new double album called Everyday Life. The band announced the news in typewritten letters sent to members of its fan club, writing, "One half is called Sunrise, the other Sunset, and it comes out November 22nd. It's sort of how we feel about things," they said.
It's how we feel about things.
Recent reports suggested that the British Quartet would issue a more experimental album next month, followed by a mainstream record in 2020.
This is daytime and nighttime, and we are somewhere in between.
It's unclear whether Coldplay has combined these two LPs into one double release or if the group does have more in store for fans next year.
So I ask you, what would you expect to pay for this amazing record pack?
A more wide-ranging official announcement is expected shortly. In the meantime, Coldplay has updated its website and social media profiles with new branding. New publicity posters have also been spotted in Berlin, London, Hong Kong, Madrid, Munich, Sao Paulo, and Sydney. The band also tweeted the image along with a brief snippet of music.
Chris Martin had a lot of fun with the Coldplay image on an episode of Modern Family.
Yeah.
And did you see that episode?
No.
He was great.
He had a huge ego.
It was terrific. And, yeah. and a healer and all this. Yeah. It was great.
Foo Fighters drummer Taylor Hawkins and his side band, the Coattail Riders, have shared the title track from their upcoming album called Get the Money. The song features Taylor on vocals, accompanied by Chrissy Hynde from The Pretenders, Joe Walsh on lead guitar, and Guns N' Roses' Duff McKagan on bass. Pretty cool lineup. Following the tradition of previous Coattail Riders projects, the album also features appearances from Foo Fighters members Dave Grohl and Pat Smear, also Queen's Roger Taylor, Heart's Nancy Wilson, Perry Farrell, Leanne Rimes, and more. Get the Money is out November 8th. Pretty cool group of friends there. Nine Inch Nails members Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross plan to release three volumes of music before the end of the year from their score for Watchmen, the highly anticipated new HBO series that premiered on Sunday night to rave reviews. The score will arrive in three unique volumes with the music strategically revealed over the course of the series. The only physical media of the Watchmen score will be a 180-gram vinyl release, or there will be several of those releases. Reznor and Ross worked in collaboration with the show's writers, and while the artwork for each volume has yet to be revealed, There will be art and packaging for the vinyl release that explores the alternate universe America that is the backbone of the show's mythology.
The music's good.
Yeah, it's really cool. And I absolutely loved that first episode. I am fully on board for this. The first volume is a 15-song release, with the only track revealed so far being the opening song, How the West Was Really Won. It's expected to arrive on November 4th, and the second volume, 13 tracks in length, will follow on the 25th, and the final 11-track offering coming on December 16th.
I went and did a tour of St. Joe's Prep on Sunday and talked to the English teacher there, and they actually study The Watchmen in, like, senior year, like, English class.
Classic, yeah.
Right? I thought that speaks
it's
a lot, yeah, about, you know, it's not a comic book.
Right.
I mean, it is, obviously, but
it's a graphic novel.
Yeah.
It's very smartly written, well thought out, and compelling. So,
yeah.
You know, yeah, take it as, you know.
It's very much great.
It's very much great. It's not just a comic book. So anyhow, we're going to wrap up music news there. Let's see. What can we give away? Some movie screening passes to Dark Fate, Terminator Dark Fate, which is on Tuesday, next Tuesday, that is. It's on the IMAX screen at the UA Riverview, 7:30. You need to be there by 7. So caller number 10. Give you a pair of tickets to that, 215-263-WMMR. We'll hit theaters on. It will hit theaters on November 1st, by the way.
Right. See, he's having a meltdown. The circuitry is going wrong.
Yeah, it's finally, after all these years, it's finally giving up. All right, we're going to take a break. I believe Pierre, through the magic of radio, is going to be able to join us in the next break. And we'll see if he's getting ready for this very cool award that he is receiving today.
Much deserved.
Philadelphia.
Music
Walk of Fame. So we'll take a break and be right back. Make sure you stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Disturbed. Revivalists. Motionless in White.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
A couple things we need to do, Case. We're going to need to get a winner for Tattoos Day. If you could rustle one of those up for me, I'd appreciate
right
it. And I want to thank Mr. Harry Hamlin for being here. This morning,
so
Harry
cool.
was a very, very nice guy. And an interesting kind of dry sense of humor about him.
Very dry.
Yeah.
I loved how he told the story of Laurence Olivier sending him a letter apologizing for being in Clash of the Titans.
That was great.
Yeah.
It was great.
He was telling a story off air about being the original choice to be in Rambo, the first Rambo movie.
He had the role.
And the contract dispute made that not possible. But he was saying to me and Casey and Steve that his life would have been very different had he taken that taken that job. Yeah.
Well, it was because he was an Equus, and he was saying that believe it or not, like Rambo in First Blood was supposed to be naked for a lot of that movie.
Huh.
Starting where, you know, he escapes from jail.
Yep.
As he's being, you know, like deloused and showered and all that.
Yep. And he makes a 3-piece suit out of squirrels.
Yeah.
Well, look at this. Should I have a cummerbund?
He's very resourceful.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. I mean,
I'd imagine something like that would actually be nice and soft.
Up a scotch in the crotch.
Yeah. Harry Hamlin's going to be in One November Yankee starting tomorrow at Delaware Theater Company, and that runs through November 10th. And tickets are available.
The music is inspiring.
At DelawareTheater.org. Okay, so what should we do? I guess we have a couple of guys we're going to talk to now, and Pierre's got to give us our letter, so I'm going to go to him first.
Right, let's see how this sounds.
Let's see, because we were having some really interesting audio issues. Pierre, can you hear me?
I hear you.
Okay.
I hear and I obey.
You hear and you obey. You're very, very low. I don't know if they can bring
Now it was, first it was too high, now it's too low.
Yeah, it's weird. It's overmodulating, but it's not volume-wise enough. It's kind of hard to explain.
It's overmodulating, but it's not volume enough.
Pierre gets too technical because all those all those years at MIT,
right.
And he thinks we all know all this stuff.
Yeah, please, dumb it down.
And the diodes, for God's sake.
See if they can demark it.
That sounds
demark
better.
Demark it.
Yeah.
And then add some sheets. Yep. 500 thread count.
Sheets is a term for wattage.
Oh, that's what they say in the industry.
Okay.
Yeah. As engineers.
Where exactly are you right now, sir?
I am in front of the old building at the University of the Arts on the corner of Broad and Pine.
Okay. And we just
said. If you're...
Oh, now you're back.
A bus hit him.
Sorry. Did we go away?
We lost you for a fraction of a second.
All right,
go ahead.
Now we're back. we're on top of it. And where was I? Oh, we're on the corner of Broad and Pine. There's this beautiful old structure, the University of the Arts Hamilton Hall. And it's right next. If you're heading down from City Hall towards the stadium complex, you'll see the Kimmel Center on the right. And right next to that on the right is the University of the Arts big building, kind of Roman column structure. And that's where the presentation will be today. And who are you, young man?
I'm here to say four words to you, young man. It's National Pierre Robert Day. Congratulations.
Oh, wow.
Jackie Bam Bam has got some fantastic eyeshadow and mascara on. You look amazing.
Don't worry about me. This is part one for you. You look amazing. God bless the good old Grateful Dead tie. You got a polka dot jacket. Would you raid my wardrobe case last night?
I got Pancake gave me the sequin Chuck Taylor. So that's the daytime outfit, yeah.
Broad Street, Mummers. Perfect. You're ready.
Nicole Miller Grateful Dead tie that John Belaris gave me a long time ago. He had no use for it. I don't know why, but there it is. we're going to be here. Is Ray in the studio with you?
Yeah, he's right here.
Yep. Hello.
The great Ray Koob is going to be our fill-in today. And then, Ray, it's so I haven't said this publicly to you yet, but it's so great to have you back on the air with us. We love you, and welcome home.
Thank you, brother. It is so good to be here at my ancestral home. And I couldn't be happier to be the guy at the controls today, as you're honored for all the great things you've done in this city. This is what happens when you're a good citizen for a long time, and you truly, truly deserve the honor, my friend.
Oh, so kind. When Ray started as an intern on the morning show with John DiBella, John would nickname everyone something completely different from their name. And Ray was known as Vern the Fern.
That's true.
Many years. Vern the Fern. But he claimed his name, just like John Mellencamp, he claimed his name back.
Vern actually died in a gardening accident.
It happens.
But I got to thank you, too, because back to those days, you showed me the ropes, how to navigate things and how things worked behind the screen, you know, and you taught me all about theater of the mind. And I remember a couple things in particular, Pierre. You were having, yes, you took over a suite at the Four Seasons for lunch interview with Yes, and I got to hang out with you for a Yes Baby from the 70s. That was pretty large. And things like that. I got to meet Lou Reed and Elvis Costello because of you. And I'm not alone. There are thousands of stories of people whose lives have been touched by stuff like that and other things, other ways that you've touched people every day with the zapper and everything. It's just great to see you down there. And if I can't be there, I'm glad I'm here.
Cool. Well, we've got a lot of fun coming.
You're going to be touching people there all day today, right?
Yes, we'll be touching. I'll be running out into the street and touching people. Excuse me, sir. Can I touch you? Ma'am? No, it's... Don't call human resources. It's just, I want to just touch you.
Yeah. Some homeless guys running around on Broad Street. Broad and Pine. Yeah. Hey, Pierre, get back here.
All right. So Jackie, the way it's going to work is Vern.
Vern. It had to happen.
You know what I mean, Vern?
Yeah. Flying star.
We really are. Ray will run the show from there and throw it to Jackie from time to time. I'll pop on, and Jackie will coordinate some of the other artists who will be here and see if he can get them on. And we'll have reports throughout the day. And the ceremony starts at noon. Hooters fans have already started gathering around the red ropes, which is really cool. And these five Hooters fans have my name and the Hooters name and a picture of all of us on stage at the Keswick Theater that they had printed up for this occasion.
They have custom T-shirts on. There's like five of them already. This is great.
Yeah,
and don't forget, this part of the day is free. Come on out here and show your love for Pierre Robert. We're waiting for you.
Well, all of them, not just me. It starts at 12 noon. Well, so,
hey, Pierre, I have a question. Are you going to take your shoes off and walk on your star with bare feet?
You know, I hadn't thought of that.
I think you should do that.
I thank you for that suggestion, Presbo. I'm going to do that.
No, it is ceremony to eat pudding off your star.
Oh, my God.
Oh, sure. I'll try anything. There's a whole crew of people polishing the plaques all the way up to the Ritz-Carlton where the plaques go. There's a crew of people that have been polishing all day.
Oh, I was polishing my own plaque last night.
And then the wife walked in.
Then she walked in.
Oh, my God.
Hey, we need to do the letter real quick, if you don't mind, Pierre, for
that's
people
who might be thinking.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter
O, as in opportunity.
All right, and we'll have your opportunity to win a trip to the premiere of Midway Tuesday, November 5th in Los Angeles. And the trip includes two round-trip plane tickets, two nights hotel stay, and two tickets to the premiere. Midway opens in theaters on November 8th, so we will give that away on Friday. Anything you want to add before we wrap up the program?
Well, I want to add that we're going to, at noon, do a big workforce block. We'll start with a block of the Hooters, who were inducted, obviously. But then, I mean, we couldn't do all of the artists, but we've got a whole bunch of really cool, very fun, Philly-oriented songs that we're going to run a block of after the Hooters block. So stay with us. It's going to be between noon and 1:30 or so. A lot of fun and a lot of cool things to listen to. Various artists that are inducted today and others that have been inducted through the year. So please stay tuned
awesome,
for that.
Awesome, awesome. Congratulations, yeah. Pierre. It's so well-deserved.
Thank you. And Jackie, the little bit of rain is smearing your eye makeup right
now. It's waterproof mascara. What are you talking about,
we'll get
Pierre?
That fixed.
All right, we will Jackie's see you guys.
Hold on a minute. Pierre's head is on a stick over here. When I made the big announcement to the media, if you can't find us, just look for Pierre's head on a stick over here.
Okay. He quite means that literally. Okay. We will see you guys in a few minutes, all right?
Rock on, you bastards.
Are you son of a bitch? We love you. All right. Thank you. All right. Let me, Ray, is there anything you want to hit? So you're going to be throwing it back and forth to Jackie,
checking in with those guys down there. They'll be singing and dancing in the rain, and we'll be playing great rock and roll all day. It's a great day to be at MMR.
Yes.
I love that we're sharing the mic
with Ray Coob.
This is surreal for me, too, guys. You know, it's a lot different when you're on the other side here at 10:45 or whenever the hell it is you wrap your show up every
day. It's 11.
It's 11. Yeah, yeah. But it's really great to see you all and to be here. And off we go on a double shot Tuesday, I guess.
Awesome. Nice. Enjoy. I want to thank our sponsors, Preston and Steve Show, brought to you today by Acme Fresh Foods, local flavors, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. Also brought to you by Winter Airport Parking, fastest way in and out of Philly International Airport, and by Meineke, America's choice for auto repair. Tomorrow, this is great. We do our Wednesday thing. We go on Fox Good Day, and then we're going to chat with our good buddy, composer Michael Giacchino. Michael Giacchino is just named, he's doing the score for the next Batman movie. So,
Matt Reeves directing.
He does all the biggies.
Steve Morrison shooting in his pants.
All right. That's it. We are done. Rage on and have a great day, and we'll see you later, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
If you're a woman who sends an email in all caps about men's fashion, you might want to look to yourself about some issues you have, sweetheart.
Next message.
Good morning. It is a great Tuesday morning. I would like to thank you for being on once again.
Next message.
Hey, at Pump 1, get the out of the way. Instead of sitting there eating your damn breakfast, you pig.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.